Hey guys, it's Thurbleton here. Just letting you know that Squiddle started off hosting this episode, so it's a little bit rough cut. Sorry about that, to the best I could. I'll go to pre-roll after this, and the show will get started. And also, apologies for getting out so late. We're trying to get back on track, sort of, a new season. It was all ready to go, just no one pushed the go buttons, which is why it's coming out so late. Expect our E3 either. Probably, I don't know. We'll do at least one episode just about E3. So get set for that. Thanks everyone for staying with us and enjoy this episode of the Scotchcast.
Wait, let's go. Let's get this train wreck rolling.
Welcome to the Lincoln Cast.
I don't think it's Lincoln Cast.
It's not the Lincoln
Oh,
Cast.
Okay. Hi guys, welcome to the Scotch Class. It's gonna be a great show. Okay, give me a second.
Sounds like he's had some scotch already.
I didn't realize Noob was hosting.
Damn.
Damn.
That is insult to end all insults right there.
Burn.
Got too real.
What episode number? Do we have to do episode numbers? Are we
32?
32. All right. Episode 32. And. Scotchcast episode 32 for the 30th of August. Wait, what month are we in here?
August?
July.
I mean, Cynic might be in August. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, in the future.
Of May. There we go. Of May. And we're going to talk about. God damn it.
Man, okay, so what are we going to talk about, Squiddle? I'm going to walk you through this.
Okay, we're going to talk about games.
Okay.
We're going to talk about bitches. And
okay.
We're going to talk about war. There's our okay. three right there. Games,
so,
we're good.
Okay, now that you said what we are going to talk about, who is we?
Okay. We would be Cynic joining us this evening.
Hello.
Okay, and that was Cynic.
I'm still in shock over here because apparently we're talking about bitches and war. I only set up a gaming podcast.
Well, we say, wait... I probably should have listened to last week's episode because I would say, well, you've been at war, right?
No, I've...
No.
Yes. Just that warmonger that is Australia.
Where they shoot at man-shaped objects.
Uh-huh. From a great distance. 100 meters and closer.
So, but you probably talked about what you did already on the last one, so I'm not going to try to go into that.
I can't talk much about what I've done. So
but oh, ooh, really?
Yeah, Cynic has been activated.
Oh, damn. Okay. So how about in the realm of the three categories of which we have picked for this evening?
Uh-huh.
What have you been doing gaming?
Wise.
The rest of us aren't here, apparently.
Are we sticking to the three categories? Because, first and foremost, that's Shameboy 630 and Durin's also over there.
I was going to do you, calls, and then I was going to go to the next one, and then I was going to go to the next one. Now you just blew up my entire order.
But do you know, like, podcast rules are for people to not speak until they've been spoken to, and it doesn't just be a segment of you and me while those guys just snigger in the background and Durin starts playing video games?
It's not that big a deal. So you can breathe.
All right. Like my Lamaze class taught me. Hold on.
We're gonna walk you through this. We're here for you.
Okay, so
just the breathing. Just the breathing.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so Cynic, what have you been doing gaming? Have you been doing any gaming?
I haven't played any video games. All I've done is watched freaking two movies. So I don't know. Like, do you want
to... No. Do you have your beloved Vita on you?
Ooh. I do have my beloved Vita on me, but I haven't had a chance to play it this week. Last week I talked about what I had been playing on it, which included Final Fantasy and some other stuff. And I played some Transistor, and I haven't played it since last week.
Because last week, I was not here. I was out seeing X-Men when you guys were recording.
Okay, yeah, so I saw X-Men 2. How awesome is X-Men?
The movie's pretty great.
The movie's pretty good. Future past.
Yeah, it's a future past. So I'd say it is as good as the first one, but not better.
When you say the first one, do you mean First Class or like X-Men?
What? X-Men 1 was terrible. First Class.
First X-Men movie wasn't bad. The third X-Men movie was bad.
The third one was horrible.
X2's apparently pretty good, which oddly enough is out of those five core X-Men movies, the only one I haven't seen.
Was X2 the one where Wolverine was like in the dome thing or something, or was that the first one? Like he had like the Magneto had him like to the wall. I can't remember if that was that.
So we've come to the conclusion that even though there were two Wolverine movies, they're really all Wolverine movies.
Yeah, they're all Wolverine movies.
I can agree with that.
This one was essentially a Wolverine movie, which just happened to have other people in it. I don't know.
I mean, with the exception of First Class.
Did you ever really play that? Did you ever play that Wolverine game that they came out like
years
ago?
It looked decent.
Ago? Is it like a movie tie-in?
It was tie-in with the first Wolverine movie.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was like an edgy Wolverine, like you could decapitate dudes and like there was blood and
Yeah, when he got shut up, like the actual bits came off him, and then you'd watch him heal. It was
somebody had posted, it was the only game where getting your health back automatically after a fight was legitimately
legit. Yeah, it actually made sense. Yeah,
yeah. I thought, okay, there you go.
But no, like, X-Men First Class, like legitimately, if it didn't focus so much on Mystique, and that's not a spoiler, I would have thought it would be probably one of the best comic book movies I've seen. It's very good.
Yeah, I've heard she might be getting her own movie now after this.
Oh, God.
I hope so.
She might be the next Wolverine.
I like that outfit. I dig that outfit.
Jennifer Lawrence is decent as Mystique. It's just, they don't really do much with... But they don't do much interesting with Mystique in those movies.
Mystique is just a whiny bitch. Like,
She could probably have her own game. And be decent somewhat on that, but you're right. Maybe a movie might be a little bit too much.
I mean, would it be decent, though? It would basically just be, like, Splinter Cell, right?
I would rather play a game like where you play as the T-1000 from Terminator.
Okay.
That would
be
a better version of the same thing. Exactly. This would just be a shit version of that where you can't turn to fucking
So in the end, the T-1000 would fight Mystique.
The T-1000 fights Mecha Hitler.
Oh, damn, we're doing another tie-in.
What if T-1000 morphs to become Mystique and Mystique morphs to become the T-1000?
Oh, one of them would be a superhero. The other one would be Mystique.
Damn. I wouldn't really call a T-1000 a superhero.
It is totally a superhero.
I mean,
in this day and age where everybody is an anti-hero, sure, he'd be a superhero.
What's the difference between him and Iron Man? Like, there's no, aside from the fact that he's human.
If you think about it, think back to the first Terminator movie and what the Terminator was. Technically, the T-1000 would be the good guy, right?
Yeah.
He's coming back to kill him.
Think about it. Like, the T-1000 in Terminator 2, what he's essentially trying to do is stop humanity from messing with time. And you know what? That's probably a good move.
That there are people out there that think the first Terminator is better than Judgment Day.
There is no comparison.
The first one does not hold up as well as Judgment Day does.
Judgment Day is fantastic.
Wait, what?
Judgment Day is the only Terminator movie.
I think you just misspoke. You just said T2 doesn't hold up as well as Judgment Day.
I thought I said Terminator. Okay. Maybe I did. I've had a little bit of drink already.
That's because T2 is the only Terminator movie.
Sorry, that's right.
So fucking what? Weird.
Bit of a stretch.
It was all better than Clarissa Explains It All, episode 5, season 3. So
I don't know. Ferguson was pretty good in that one.
Yeah, the blanket. Remember the blanket episode where he was making copies of the blanket to give to his girlfriends to make them feel bad for him? Okay. That was such a good episode.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Also the best James Cameron film.
Anyway, see, that was a good movie.
who sort of hummed there? Who's going to argue that something is better than Terminator 2 in terms of what James Cameron has made? Who's going to make that argument?
That was me that went, because I was trying to think, what else did he make? And I can't think off the top of my head,
I think it was probably Aliens.
Hold on.
Okay, yeah.
I was never a big Aliens fan, though.
Aliens is pretty good. It's no Alien.
I know a person
who might still be better.
Who thinks Avatar is the best movie ever made, and he's wrong.
Someone here isn't someone in the Skype call, or someone?
Someone where I'm currently staying.
Oh, is that why you got all quiet?
You don't have to get quiet, because it'd probably be for me Terminator, and then Avatar would be the best movie that he ever did after that. So,
God.
Sotaro's not very good.
Rambo First Blood Part 2 is also pretty good.
I would say the movie Avatar does not hold up to what I remember seeing in the theaters. I remember being like just awed, fucking gassed by 3D and loved it immensely. Mm. And I watched it again. And it doesn't hold up.
It almost had me convinced that 3D could be a thing.
Yeah.
And then the best, I started putting 3D and everything else and then realized, like, no, God, no, no.
The best thing about Avatar is the alternate opening that comes in the Blu-ray. That's actually legitimately good.
That's a good opening. I haven't seen that. It has more of a backstory.
Yeah, it actually makes the main character a character.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. That's handy. That's a good thing for them to put in the alternate beginning.
Yep. The movie's long enough as is. They didn't need any more.
I think we got to the point where director's cuts should just be the final cuts for theater. We should stop doing, you know, after
Ridley Scott would hug you right now.
but then they can't sell the movie like four times.
You
mean like Blade Runner, a Ridley Scott film. There's like eight different cuts of that movie.
Peter Jackson wouldn't have a career.
I don't know if he'll have much of a career after these Hobbit movies get done.
You mean the fact that they're making $1 billion?
I can't believe Avatar came out 5 years ago.
That's
crazy to me.
I did have a Titanic VHS in my locker at middle school.
Why?
I don't remember why. I just had it in there.
Jacked
I think
the cover. Wait, what?
I did a lot of that entire movie.
Whoa!
So I'm just gonna throw that out there, so there's no one confused in that comment.
Leo,
but I don't
never
know, but
let
I
go.
Yeah. Oh God. But no, I liked Titanic when it came out. It was
a legitimately good movie.
I think I was trying to like pick up on chicks. Like I would open my locker and they would see it and be like,
sensitive.
"Oh man, he's a sensitive kind of guy." Okay.
Did that work out for you?
Did you like? Did you in high school change that out for the Notebook DVD in your locker?
No. Oh, so in middle school, no. But I did watch the Notebook. I cried. I thought that was a very, very
Notebook
good movie.
Notebook legitimately was an awesome movie.
I wouldn't call it awesome.
It was a great movie.
I could see Jared coming out of the theater just pumped as hell.
Awesome. At the end
fucking
of middle school, though,
a boss in that movie.
At the end of middle school, though, I watched so many Happy Days reruns on Nick at Night that I ended up having like different. I did little things different. I had Tommy Hilfiger shirts, one for each day of the week, a black pair of jeans that turned into a leather pair of jeans by the end.
Younger you sounds like the worst.
And I used to carry a comb in my back pocket and went every time I saw someone, pulled out my comb and like just comb my hair back.
Were you like attempting to be so the Fonz?
Yeah, I had a cinematic man crush on David Winkle.
Henry Winkle?
Winkler. Henry Winkler. Yeah, that's the guy.
Oh, the attorney from Arrested Development.
Oh, the principal from Scream.
I also watched Godzilla, you guys.
That movie is also all right.
Godzilla.
Did you like Godzilla?
I did.
I liked Godzilla, yes.
I liked Godzilla as well.
It was pretty solid.
I liked the second one. I haven't watched the new one yet.
And Cynic, that was the one that Thurb said he didn't think you would like, right?
It is nowhere near as cartoony and dumb as Pacific Rim. I don't understand like where the equivalency is there. It's not the same at all. They're very different movies.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, does it take itself like super seriously though, or kind is of? It pretty somewhere?
It's I don't know. They kind of walk a tightrope with this one, but in that like their pseudoscience is pseudosciencey as fuck, but it's dumb in a good way. Like the dude, like one of the main characters is this Asian scientist who like has this
man
crush on this monster crush on Godzilla. He's just like he is the force of balance in the world.
He's the one who wants to see this thing turn into an anime.
Like he was legitimately dumb in the way that I think nailed it in this movie, but missed the mark in Pacific Rim. I know Stream Boy would disagree, but it was good, and the monster fighting was when you actually got to see it, which was only like near the end, pretty good. I don't know. I loved the laser beams. Like I liked how they made you wait for the laser beam, and then they finally gave you the laser beam. It was fucking awesome. I cheered.
Godzilla has laser beams? What?
Godzilla has always had laser beams.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
So, okay, I've actually never watched a Godzilla movie.
Oh,
even like the 1998 Godzilla?
Yeah, he totally has it.
You need to watch Godzilla vs. Mothra.
Yes, you do.
So I need to. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying you didn't. I was like, that would be included in the I haven't seen any Godzilla movie, yes. I'll have to watch. So is that like the pinnacle of the classic Godzilla movies, or
just Mothra is really dumb?
Oh, okay, really, okay.
Really there's dumb, like okay. a lot of like there's a surprising amount of lore behind Mothra.
So I imagine the fight stuff in that it's got to be like, especially in those older ones, like pretty much Power Rangers stole it, right? Like they stole the idea, and it's just that, right? Like the Zords fighting.
In all these big buildings, yeah. That's essentially what this movie is as well.
Okay, I need to watch this then.
I'm pretty sure that there's like a companion for Mothra, like where Mothra represents like death and something else represents life. It's really strange.
Well, I know in the original Mothra, they had two fairies that in the original movie.
Fairies?
Like two little singing imps or fairies that were in the.
That's what I mean. There's a lot of strange lore around Mothra.
Yep, fairies would like control Mothra or something like that, and if they got angry, that Mothra would like destroy things. If they were happy, Mothra would be all.
Saying that Mothra has Mothra and some other thing that I don't recall the name of sort of represent two sides of something.
Mm-hmm. So then did Rita get angry when Mothra was defeated?
I can't believe there's going to be a new Power Rangers movie. I'm so pumped for that.
I am happy about that.
It's going to be bad. I'm just telling you all this now.
Oh, absolutely. I'm
Power Rangers. But not in the way you hope.
No, no.
I'm just imagining a theater filled with the same people who were in that theater 30 years ago.
The worst part about it is I believe that is the project that I'm blanking on the actor's name, but the guy that played the original like Green Ranger and White Ranger and stuff, I'm pretty sure that's the project he's coming back for.
Yeah, the MMA fighter now or whatever he was doing.
He's coming back and doing a Power Rangers thing. He's going to be back with the Rangers. Isn't he like 40 now?
Yeah, he's an old bastard now. Older. Wait,
so is this going to be Power Rangers with like high school kids with attitude or whatever? Or is this going to be like
actual... I'm hoping the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles do a crossover like they did years ago in the show for some weird thing.
Oh, that I watched that crossover. That was actually like, I hated it because the new turtles like tried to be all edgy and like serious, mm-hmm. and like they spent the entire time. It was like a full length movie of that thing, and like they spent the whole time just making fun of the older turtles. And they like the show actually made those older turtles like super fucking goofy, like even beyond what they actually were back then, just for the sake of making fun of them.
Mm-hmm.
It bothered me, given that those older turtles were better than the new ones in every way.
Yeah.
And goddamn
it. The new ones don't count. They're not real. They don't exist.
Video games.
No.
What new ones? Yeah, so aside from that, I haven't played shit. Aside from the Transistor I played last week. That's the last of me. That's all I did.
I've played like 2.5 hours of Transistor, and I think it's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think it's stunning, and I've listened to the soundtrack some more, but I haven't played more of that game.
I've only listened to the song from the trailer because I don't want to
spoil
inadvertently stumble upon another song with lyrics that comes later.
Yeah. Especially if it has like a moment like the Bastion.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Oh, God. If I had more time, I would. Soundtrack. Oh, God. That moment.
So I need to go back to finishing Bastion. I haven't played it since last week.
I can't believe half of the people talking right now have not finished Bastion.
I played the first like five.
Exactly. You endure it. That's half.
To add insult to injury, do you remember PAX, 2 years ago, I got the signed CD, and I think my stepmother threw it out because she didn't know it was in a bag. And so I asked her, do you have that bag? And she goes, I don't know what it is.
I still have that Transistor poster that's signed on the back of it by, I think it's just Greg and Darren. But either way, still neat.
Man. Yeah.
But yeah, I Transistor has probably been the first game that I've actually really sat down and like. It's similar for me for Dust and Elysian Tale, which I still haven't finished. By the way, I am bad at finishing games sometimes.
Yep, same here.
Have you ever finished a game? Like, have you ever finished a game?
The last game I legitimately finished, and I will say without cheating, that's why I say legitimately, was BioShock Infinite.
Okay,
that was the last game.
That came out last year. That's pretty good.
That and then before that was Hitman, the new one. So
wow. Last game I finished was, I have this list, is back in February when I finished FF12.
I keep saying I'm going to keep a list, and then I don't. Like, I'll like report like two things on there. That's it.
I really fucking like FF12.
You didn't read my long blog post on how I think original FF12 is garbage, but the international version is actually pretty good.
I know, but the international version is the only one I played, and that's
on giantbomb.com.
I was probably really confused. That's probably why I was really confused as to why you didn't like FF12, because the international version is actually pretty damn good.
I wrote like a fairly lengthy blog post on giantbomb.com about the differences between the two.
Is that about video games?
I believe so. About how I think the job system salvages everything about that game.
Dude, it's so good. I fucking love FF12. I don't know. I think that Van is a piece of shit, but if you play as Balthier and any of the other main male characters, it's pretty
cool. I played as Ash most of the time.
Ash is pretty cool, too. That's the chick, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My main party for most of it, without going into detail, was pretty much Ash as a samurai, Bosch as an archer, and Fran as a red mage.
Right, right.
So that's what I went through pretty much the entirety of the game with.
Fran can actually dish out a lot of physical damage. I'm surprised you left her as the red mage. Whatever. It's a good game. It's a good game.
Only that version, though.
But yes, so Squiddle, who do you feel like asking what they've done next?
It's the next step in the podcast hosting process. Is once person A has gone, ask person B.
Yes, okay, let's see. So the first A has gone. Let's go.
Oh, D20.
Where's my ring? Oh, where's my ring? Damn it.
I have all these dice here.
I should have everybody roll for initiative, and then we start that roll, and that's how we go for the next time. Next
I rolled
time.
A three.
Who said that?
On a D20.
Me.
Who said that? Oh, that's you. Okay, you rolled a three? Okay.
I rolled a 13.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have a D20 in front of me. Hang on, I got
to open it. We are making it up, Duran. Just say words.
No, I didn't make it up. You didn't hear the dice roll?
No, I didn't hear the dice roll. You actually have a D20 on you?
Yeah, he has a golden D20.
I do. At PAX, I spent $40 on a set of 7 dice because I make bad decisions.
All right, I went to random.org. Here we go. I'm going to generate 6. Duran, what have you been playing?
What? I rolled the highest.
Didn't pick a number.
Oh, you were rolling. I thought you were rolling for them.
I rolled a 13. Son of a bitch.
Shit, boy, what have you been playing?
Well, speaking of this here D20.
Thank you, worked out really well.
I rolled a 12.
That was my grand plan. Aha, I still beat you. That was my grand plan this whole time. The ultimate segue. Squirtle and I, amongst other people, have been playing 13th Age, which is a D20 or D20 based tabletop RPG.
I'm surprised at how much fun I've been having with that.
Excuse me? Excuse me, Sonic?
That's not a video game. What are you talking
about? No, it's not. It's not. We're playing through a web browser. Does it count?
That's true. It's on a web browser. Therefore, there is video, and therefore, it's a game. Video game.
That checks out.
It basically might as well be Pac-Man.
Yeah.
He's getting the sort of fancy paid GM package, so we'll have dynamic lighting and whatnot.
Oh,
do you know how much that is?
He's getting the $100 tier, but you can get that for $50.
Okay.
I think he's getting it as like a gift for helping a relative or something. I don't really know.
Right.
I see.
So Duran and Cynic, you both have RPG experience of some sort, whether it be D&D, Pathfinder, whatever,
right?
I have
a lot of experience. Yes. Like way too more than I should admit to.
Whatever, man. Who cares?
I hate you and your war efforts.
It's kind of different in that it's less complicated. I know that sounds sort of dumbed down, but it's less complicated in that it's more – you're building your character. You know how in D&D you have like skills like climb, perception, whatever? Mm-hmm. Those don't exist. Everything like that is lumped into a background system.
Right.
Where you have X amount of points. Most classes start with 8. Mm-hmm. And you can put those 8 points into any number of backgrounds with a maximum of 5 in any one.
Oh, okay. So this is not how I pictured it when you first explained it.
So the way I have my – I made a commander, which is basically you use a whole bunch of interrupt actions to get people to retry things and whatnot. You're basically like melee heavy armor support.
Hmm.
It's actually really fun.
Yeah.
That's besides
sounds really useful, actually.
It is.
So it doesn't have any kind of like skill check system then. It's more just
– No, that's all lumped into the background. Because like I – in my hubris, ran into the first enemy I saw in the dungeon, because I was like, I'm a glorious battle commander. I'm going to run at this dude.
That's what a battle commander is. They lead from the front. Fell. Yeah, you know.
That's actually – lead from the front is actually a class mechanic.
So dumb.
So I fell into a pit because there was a trap.
I wonder why.
So to get out, instead of making like a climb check, which involved, you know, your strength modifier, I had to make a background check, meaning I had to use my strength modifier plus my level plus whatever background I could convince the GM would help.
I see.
So I went like, oh, as someone who is in battle a lot, I would know how to use my strength to overcome a physical obstacle. And then Loopy, who's our GM, was like, all right, that works. So I rolled a d20 plus strength plus that.
This doesn't sound simpler. This sounds more complex.
No, not really. You only, instead of having like a bajillion skills, you have like three backgrounds.
So I guess I should say it sounds more complex, but more flexible.
It's mechanically, in terms of like the number of numbers you have to keep track of, it's way easier. It's just, it's less black and white. It's not like, oh, this is a climb check. This is a knowledge arcana check. It's more of like, hey, does your character have any previous knowledge, or does any part of your character's story help you with this?
Yeah, it leaves more to the imagination that you can, if you can impart on the GM and they go, oh, that makes sense. Then
you basically have to bullshit the GM into allowing you to do something.
But what if you, like, what if your character was like, hey, I spent like half of my life in the military, but before that I ran away and joined the circus, and you kind of just have all the fucking...
I think you have to have like a predetermined background.
But that's where... No, you make up the backgrounds. The limit comes in from the limited number of points you have.
Well, no. Sorry. I mean, like, when you build your character, you make your background there, so you can't just add to that background as you play.
Correct.
Right?
Okay. Right, yeah. Correct. So, but say I put 4 points in military background, 4 points in being in a circus. You could essentially cover almost fucking everything.
You wouldn't be able to talk your way out of much of anything.
No, you would not be able to talk your way out of anything. You wouldn't have any knowledge of anything like magical. Like,
yes,
in our party,
would be magical.
Like, out of like the five or six of us, only like one or two actually have any knowledge of anything magical.
Right, yeah, it's pretty easy to go down a non-magical path with the background system.
Yeah, because like my background, if I pull up my character sheet here, I have 5 points in like military, like general commander, 1 point in arena gladiator, because that has to do with my character's story, 1 point in highborn, and 1 point in ladies' man.
Are you essentially Maximus Aurelius from fucking Gladiator?
Okay. No.
All right. You sure? Because that sounds like
basically, since I'm a commander, my POG in Roll 20 is a picture of Logan Thackeray with the Guild Wars 2 commander icon over his head.
Oh, God.
It's really dumb. that has to do with like lore stuff with your character. And also, each character has what they call the one unique thing. Which is, you can make up literally anything as long as it doesn't break the game. Like mine is that I was dead and I've been brought back, though I don't know by who or why.
Cool.
Albino Jerk, who's in the game, he's playing like a rogue, and his one unique thing was that he was in a secret military order of assassins that was disbanded right before they were deployed.
Okay.
And my one unique thing is my accordion. Whence I play, every chalice around me fills with rum.
That's pretty cool.
Also, as a sorcerer, his magic comes out of his accordion.
Yes.
Ah.
You know, and to give more, you know, weirdness to the backgrounds, like I did +5 to pirate captain, which we still haven't determined. Like, I haven't really used that for anything. I've used donkey riding +5 for one maneuver.
Because he took a class thing of some sort to get 2 more points into a background.
So I was able to do that, and my justification for donkey riding is I was able to, I think, was it move an extra couple steps to scale something or something like that. Yeah. I was trying to use it for
it's neat because it opens up a lot of possibilities for trying to figure out your character's, you know, internal story. It also helps because it means that it's less of, in general, their thing with 13th Age is it's less of, okay, the GM in this campaign is telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And more of like the party is sort of telling a story together. Because You have to do there's a montage system.
What?
There's a system called a montage. Which have you ever played? It's called like Fortunately, Unfortunately. It's pretty much like one person.
I'm shaking my head, but that doesn't help, does it? Yeah, one person.
It's pretty much like one person comes up with a problem, next person comes up with a solution to the previous problem and a new problem. And at the beginning, we sort of all had to do that in a group to figure out why we were all together.
Oh, okay. That sounded cool.
And when we finished, it was funny because we finished the first dungeon the other day and we had to do that. Instead of doing boring stuff like rolling random encounters while walking to the next town or whatever, we did a montage.
Right.
So Loopy went first and he was like, oh God, there are behemoths walking here. And one of them has a whole bunch of hippies living in it, on it. Because they're massive. They're like city-sized animals.
Yep.
And the next person was like, oh, these hippies need to get up there somehow. So there are ropes hanging off this thing. So we all dramatically grab the ropes and like swing around the behemoth.
Nice. Okay.
And then, oh God, we're being attacked by... I forgot what it was. And then it was my turn. So I said that, hey, those dudes have better stuff than us over there. Go kill them. And I had to make sort of a background check on that, but since I'm a commander, my orders are very convincing. Mm-hmm. So they listened, and then the new problem was when we got to the next town, someone had come in and stolen all of their weed, and they thought it was us. Turns out it was the hippies. Who knew?
I see.
And someone had to convince them that we did not steal their weed, and it went so on and so forth. It's okay. Pretty fun.
So that is definitely a massive difference from D&D, where it is very much a DM-driven experience.
Yeah.
A very set out story that you're probably going to go down. But this can literally go any fucking direction when you're moving between. Interesting.
Also, in combat, everything's sort of simplified in that, like, in the bestiary, very few enemies actually roll damage dice. I don't think any of them do. It's just a straight number of damage.
Oh,
so if you're, like,
awesome.
DMing it, it's way easier.
Yeah. No, we do similar stuff.
Like, oh, a lot of times the extra effects are based on, if you roll like a 16 or higher natural, they do this as well. But it's never like an extra, it's very rarely like an extra D8 or D10. It's like, oh, you take six ongoing, just straight six.
Right. Yeah, it's just like, we can go so deep into what me and my friends have done. As like, that's very similar to the system in some ways.
Out of curiosity, Cynic, were you the ones that like, you make your character and then on the sheet of paper, like draw what your character looks like and then keep a folder just for that character that we could always bring into another D&D game as this character has aged for years and has all these powers. GM, will you allow me to bring this character into the game type thing?
It's similar. Like it would be like a folder on your computer, which has a picture of like some dude, which you'd probably found on the internet somewhere, and you'd made a character around that picture, and we do things like that. It's more, and we definitely have things where like characters people had played from a previous campaign would show up in a new campaign, but be DM controlled and just be like a side place that just like swing in for like a second and like defeat some great foe in front of us or some shit, and then they just disappear again and just be awesome for a while.
Okay,
we definitely have things like that.
There's like three more major changes that I'm gonna roll through real quick. Mm-hmm. The first one is there's no alignment system.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, there are 13 icons. There are 13 icons, which are basically like powerful beings in the world. There's like, the Great Golden Worm, which is like giant gold dragon. There's the Emperor. There's like the Elf Queen, or King, like all those things.
Right.
You pick sort of an alignment with them. You have 3 points that you can put into any of them. So 3 total. So like right now, you can put them either positive, negative, or conflicted. Right now I have Emperor +2 conflicted and Lich King +1 negative because everyone hates the Lich King. He's a dick.
Right. Okay, yep.
So at the beginning of each session, you roll 3d6, one for each point. And if you roll a 5 or a 6, you like the DM writes that down. And depending on whether it's positive, negative, or conflicted, something happens or can happen in that session. Like, say you use a daily or something, and you have a 6 in, like, the Diabolist, who is all demon-y stuff. And be like, oh, you can get that daily back, but now you have to fight this, like, super powerful demon. like all improv stuff.
That was kind of like what happened to me is when I lost my chain lightning or
like, yeah, he lost his chain lightning and he used a point to get it back, but next time he used it, it chained to an ally as well.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until I casted it.
Yeah, you, there's no way to know it. You just knew that you were going to make a deal.
Yep, make a deal with the devil.
And then since you actually hit Blitz with that, I used my commander ability to make you re-roll the attack roll to miss, which was pretty funny.
Fuck yeah. No, that re-rolls are pretty strong in any like D20 game. Fucking awesome. But no, that sounds... What was the third? That sounds interesting.
That was one.
Yep.
It's just a different way to do alignments that actually has more of a direct impact on like moment-to-moment gameplay.
Right.
The second one is the way feats work.
Yep.
Feats are not general. Feats are specific to abilities. Meaning that you don't just get like... You don't just take a power attack as a feat.
Right.
You would take a feat as a modifier to one of your talents or one of your, like in my instance, commands or tactics.
Okay, and your talents would be coming from your
class. Your talents are a class. Like every class gets like talents and then a secondary mechanic. So like my secondary mechanic as a commander is commands and tactics. So I can either shout things or make people do things. So for example, I took what's called basic tactical strike, which just means as a quick action on my turn, I can make an ally use a basic attack as a free action.
Right.
So like, okay, I hit this thing and now it's almost dead. Hey, you standing next to me, kill this thing.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
And I took a feat for that, which is an adventurer feat, which is just the base level. You get higher level feats as you get higher level character, higher character level, to add my charisma modifier to the attack roll.
Right. Yeah, then, gotcha.
You know, the next level of feat, which would be champion level feat, I can also add that modifier to the damage roll. Stuff like
that. So does the feat say, like, you add this to rolls in your talent, but it'd be generic in that statement, so you just apply that statement to whatever
talent you're applying to? No, they're not. Each feat is specific to that talent.
Okay, so you actually have to look up. So instead of a feats table that's general, you'd actually look up your talents and see what feats you're able to get for that talent?
You would, to find all the feats, you don't want to go to, like, a big feat list. You want to go to, like, your class page.
Right. Yes, that's really different. So it actually limits quite a bit as to what you can do. Is there like a general pool you can pull from?
No.
Or is it,
okay, there so are like, I assume there will be like campaign ones when they start releasing official campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
The only one that's general right now is one that's related to the Chaos Mage, which is a playtest class, which pretty much he has a thing that he can roll a D100 and gains a random effect. And the generic feat is pretty much, hey, you can make him stop the effect because some of them are negative to the party.
Okay, so that actually controls an element of 3.5, which was people becoming broken powerful by combining feats from different sources. And because they're all general, all you have to do is...
There are certain talents you can take which let you grab things from other classes.
Ooh.
Like as a commander, I can take a talent that lets me take a fighter maneuver and then use it as if I was a fighter.
Right. Yeah. Gotcha.
Stuff like that.
Yep. So I can definitely see because part of the negative of D&D is how broken strong you can get. Part of the fun of D&D is becoming broken strong. So
you can still become broken strong. It's okay.
Good.
It's like Albino is a rogue, and like in order to get out of combat, you can roll like a disengage, which is normally a straight D20, and you need 11 or it's 50-50 shot. You need 11 or higher to disengage.
Right.
And he has an 11 bonus on one attack. So he automatically disengages. Doesn't need to worry.
That's pretty good. Especially for low levels, that's really good.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering, for example, like fucking one of my level 13 dudes could eventually do like 6 full attacks per round. So he'd be dishing out like 100 and... He was a 2-weapon fighter, so he was dishing out like... Or it'd be 8 times 6, which is 48 times 2, which is 96. 96 attacks in a round. Yeah. So I don't think you get that strong in this system, which is good in some ways, in a lot of ways, in fact.
Yeah, it's really interesting the way they do the feats, because I like that they're very specific, because it makes picking a feat when you level up like less of a daunting task.
Mm-hmm.
And it also gives you an idea like straight away, like, oh, I want to go down this tree and get all these feats and whatnot.
That's cool.
It's pretty neat.
That's cool. like it.
Then
what's the third thing?
Third thing is arguably the biggest thing or the coolest thing to me is the escalation die.
That's pretty awesome.
There's a separate die. It's basically a D6 that starts at zero.
Yep.
And at the end of every round, assuming that there has been some form of action, like if you're just sort of standing around moving and don't do anything, or just healing or whatever, it doesn't go up. It increases by one to a maximum of six. This one is then added to all of your attack rolls. And then next round, it goes up to two, goes up to three, up to six. You can have up to like a plus six on your attack rolls without any other bonuses being applied.
Wait, so and all you have to do is do something in that round.
Yeah, it pretty much works so that like monsters have relatively high AC for their level compared to other games.
Right.
It's basically meant so like, oh God, we can't hit any of these things and they're sort of beating up on us. And then there's a great swing and you start picking up momentum and sort of turn the tide of battle.
That is pretty damn cool. But the question is, do monsters also have escalation die?
No.
No, it's just for...
Even
human enemies don't have escalation die?
Correct. It's strictly a player thing.
Okay, cool. All
right. There are certain talents and certain feats and whatnot that you can get to manipulate the escalation die. Like, I have a thing where I can roll a D3... And then that number of people around me can use a recovery, which is just like a heal.
Right.
But that decreases the escalation die by one.
Oh, that's a good question.
And I can only use it when it's at least two.
So what are the heals in this game? Like, are there...
Everyone gets a pool of I think it's... Most classes are eight recoveries. And that is just a D-something, depending on your class. Mine's a D8. Plus your level, I believe.
Okay, so this...
Excuse me. It's level D8 plus something. Plus your...
That's like a generic heal that everyone has access to.
Yes.
Okay.
It's level D8 plus your con modifier.
Okay, so they're actually... like 4.0, they're reducing the need for clerics, etc. Just in general.
Like, some of us have heal skills, but they're like emergencies.
Yeah, okay. That's actually interesting. I found that change of move for the better. I like not having to have a person delegated to healing, but it depends on balance. Like, it all comes down to actually playing it.
Because like Blitz is a paladin, he can heal. As a commander, I can't heal, but I can let other people heal as a free action.
Your class is badass. I like your class.
Yep. The only thing that sucks about that is without getting a champion level feat in it, I cannot use myself as one of the targets.
Yeah, but that's clear. That's obvious. Like, if you're allowed to use yourself as a target from the start, that would be pretty strong.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where if I get like the top tier feat in that, I can use one of my command points, which is like their things that let you actually use commands, to avoid decreasing the escalation die.
Nice.
There's another thing. I forgot what I was reading. I think it's one of the... You know, I mentioned the weird chaos mage things? I'm pretty sure if I read correctly, one of them is you just sort of re-roll the escalation die as a straight D6.
Ooh.
So if it's at like, zero or one, you can just sort of roll it and suddenly it's up to a six.
Yeah. But it can't go past there. Like, it's stuck at six, right? Six is the max. All right. And it's one last question essentially for me. Like, you've talked about your commander class, et cetera. Are there prestige classes?
I don't know what that means.
Are there classes, is there multi-classing? Can you change class?
There is multi-classing.
Okay, so you can stop leveling in one class and switch to another.
If you're going to ask me how it works, I'm going to say, I don't know.
Okay, all right. So prestige classes are essentially something from D&D. I'm not sure if it was transferred to 4.0. I'm pretty sure it was, but I'm not certain. Where you'd have your fighter, et cetera, your cleric, et cetera, but there'd also be classes which are generally granted by alternate texts and alternate books, which those classes graduate into. So a fighter would become eventually like
Fire Emblem style?
Like very much like that. And the books would add more and more classes that you can turn into. So like there'd be things that had prerequisites. Okay, to be this class, you have to be Fighter 3 or whatever.
Commander is dope. I can't wait till next level when I get hit harder, which is instead of re-rolling the attack roll, you re-roll the damage roll.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So, say someone crits, but since it's an interrupt action, I can just do it whenever.
Yep.
So, say someone crits but rolls crappy damage, I'm just like, man, just reroll that damage.
Are you sure that you can do it?
You can do one per round.
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, like, you can't just do it whenever the fuck, because I would be broken. Yeah. Just one around, yeah.
But cool. If I get the good champion though. Feat in that, you can spend one additional command point to add another damage die of the same type to the damage roll.
That's awesome. That's pretty good. Anyway, yeah, your class sounds fine. That game sounds fine.
Whoa. Yeah. Epic feat. When you use this, you can also use this command as a free action.
Oh, wow.
Just wow. All of yep. The time. But in mind, when the ally hits with an opportunity attack. Never mind.
Okay.
That's pretty fucking rare.
We were playing, what is it we were playing before? What was the actual one, Chin, that we were playing?
Excuse me?
The other game we were playing.
We were playing Pathfinder.
Pathfinder. I played that, but I have a lot more fun in 13 Days because it's more kind of make it up as you go along.
It moves quicker.
It feels like you're playing a game, not a talent. The biggest complaint I had is I think we did it the first night, and I came on later, but I was sitting there and I wasn't. Was this the one where I was the bird where you had like the
yes.
But there was the one where I won't say packed, but you had like the horsey carriages. Was that the one where I was the bird in that one? I believe not doing much in that game, but you had like roll who was the driver and who was this and who was coming on your team with you. And I was like sitting there for the entire time we were on. I'm like, we're not doing anything. This is rolling.
That campaign's bad. Jade Region is a kind of a boring campaign.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So 13 Days had a lot more activity, and I am digging it so far a lot.
Also,
more.
As an aside, this is less of an important thing, but magic items in 13th Age are much less common, and they all have a personality.
Oh, cool! They use that mechanic. That's kind of fun.
So, like, there's a pair of sandals that makes you love puns. and <Nice. laughs> Albino got a dagger that made him jumpy and suspicious. So once we left the town that we were in, he started questioning me about my background and was super nervous and was reaching for the dagger the whole time.
Oh, is that nice. What happened? Is that what happened yes. When I walked into you? I didn't know why he was acting like that. I was like, what the hell happened while I was gone? Okay.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, one of the character like, things is all
I like
the
how those are like
at once.
Right. And I like how those are like little references to some of fantasy, some of the fantasy greats as well. But my summary of my opinion... Yeah, my summary of my like of hearing what your stuff has described about this. It sounds like this is a game for people who have less time than they used to. Like this is a great version of D&D or like alternative to D&D. That's like, yeah, if you don't have a person who wants to sit there for a month and write a campaign before you even fucking start playing, or if you don't want to write too big of a character sheet and look through shitloads of skills to decide what you want to do, then it sounds an interesting like alternative that'll actually still be fun and can evolve really quickly and stay interesting in case like, because some campaigns I've been part of in D&D have fell off a cliff after like the first two encounters because that's all they actually legitimately had time to plan out.
Yeah, because they give you a lot of tools to sort of tell your own story. Yeah. Like there's a starter campaign, a very short starter campaign in the core rulebook. And at the end of it, it's just like, it sort of branches near the end. And it's just like, depending what backgrounds or what icons your party has, we suggest this, this, or this, or that, that, or that. And then afterwards, we suggest, depending on this, you can go here. Depending on that, you can go there. Do your own thing.
That's pretty cool.
And in the bestiary, there's an encounter builder, like spreadsheet.
Right.
Which I think is neat.
It'll be fun. Yeah.
Everything gets point value like that. And whatnot.
In general, stuff like that sounds like, it's pretty good.
It's way more freeform.
Yeah.
Way less rigid.
You're right.
Super fun.
So, yeah.
Squiddle, my opinion is that we've talked enough about this particular game. Maybe you should punch him, boy.
It's
move on to the next game.
Next game. That's about all I've been playing. Oh, in all honesty.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
I'm going on a... I've been meaning to chew through my 3DS backlog, but I'm going to Wisconsin in like a month, and it's like a 14-hour drive each way. So I'm going to chew through a lot of stuff then.
So what's in Wisconsin that are making you make the trip?
I have family there.
Oh, okay. Cool.
It's like the Wisconsin-Illinois state line.
Okay. So
it's not way up in cheese country yet.
Are you gonna have some cheese curds while you're there? Are there cheese curds within the area?
Oddly enough, last time we drove past there was like a little burrito place that I was so goddamn curious to try. just because what the hell is this little burrito place doing in the middle of Wisconsin?
That would make me curious as well. I would have
so to I'm probably going to go there.
Ooh. Now, are you're driving with the family? You're driving separate, like
it's just cars. This, I'm driving with my parents because just three of us.
Okay.
That'd be cool. So I'm just gonna sit in the back and fucking play Kirby the whole time.
I'm really fucking pissed off that the only Mexican restaurant near me at the moment is closed for 2 months because the people who run it have gone back to Mexico.
Oh wow! So see, bull. I would not have thought you would have actually had real Mexicans making food.
We do apparently.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I was gonna say, at least you know it's legit.
Yeah, I was happy to hear because I thought they were Mexicans, but I didn't want to be racist enough to ask them if they were Mexicans or not.
So out of curiosity, since it's almost summertime here, does that mean it's wintertime for you there? Is that how that works? Or
it's cold.
It means it's only like blazing hot instead of deathly hot.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good.
It's so cold. I have a heater.
What's cold?
What is cold? Give us the definition of cold.
Now, again, you have to remember that none of our clothes or buildings are made to retain heat. It's not like humans who are raised in areas which are colder than average are actually more resistant to the cold. You're just fuck.
Give
you.
Me no, a it's number. The temperature of your choosing.
It only gets down to around 4 degrees Celsius, 277 degrees Kelvin. Sorry, Kelvin.
It's actually not degrees Kelvin.
Okay, where are we doing Kelvin? I pulled up a Celsius Fahrenheit calculator. Can we please go from that? Why are we throwing
Kelvin? It's like
4
degrees. It's like 40 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay. That's not cold. Yeah. That's nice.
That's several feet
it's
of snow.
It's not even freezing yet.
It's so cold.
That's like in my underwear outside just because why not?
Yeah, I was going to say 40 degrees. I can still wear shorts.
Yeah, I know. I have worn shorts.
You're crazy people. I understand.
I should send you some clothes. I have a giant cloak in my closet. I should just send to you.
Yeah, see, I have only like t-shirts and jeans, and it is way too cold.
You can wear a t-shirt and jeans at 40 degrees.
Oh yeah, totally.
Do you want me to send you some of our American BDUs to wear that are nice and warm for the weather?
It's a BDU.
Battle dress uniform.
Oh.
It's your camos, BDUs, or considered camos.
Cams.
Okay. God damn it. The BDUs. God damn it.
Like, I could call ours DPCU, but I'm not gonna.
What branch are you actually in?
Yeah.
What do you mean by branch? Like Air Force?
Air Force,
like Air Force, Navy, Army.
Yeah, Air Force.
Air Force, because my sister's fiance just joined the U.S. Air Force. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about cold, he's going to be stationed about 30 minutes from the Canadian border.
God damn. Why would you do that to yourself? Like, I don't...
He didn't get to pick.
Like, I almost joined the Air Force out of high school. Almost.
You're not too far.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. Like, aside from
the road.
Ridiculous workload during training, I think it's pretty cool.
I'm upset that you haven't killed a man yet.
I don't
intend to. I'm disappointed in you.
I want you to use your bare hands with a knife and then make it, like...
Why don't you have, like, a drone kill someone yet?
Yeah, 90% of the Australian Defence Force does is just peacekeeping missions. So I have no intention of shooting...
quote-unquote peacekeeping missions, I understand.
So you're joining a Legionnaires, actually. I always thought Australians had the Legionnaires, and that was kind of weird.
That's the French.
I know, but I always thought that, like, a lot of Australians joined the Legionnaires.
Why would we join the Foreign Legion? All right. Like, I don't know.
All right, serious question. If you wanted Australia to go to war with one country, Sisu, you could kill them bastards. Who would it be?
Ooh. Okay, first and foremost, my opinion is myself and not that of the Australian Air Force.
That's why I asked you, but not Australia in general.
Let me think. Who would it be? Do we get to keep their lands?
And their women.
Sure, yes. Let's say yes. All right, assuming you are victorious, you get to keep their lands. But assuming you lose, they get to occupy Australia.
Okay, yeah. So I'm going to choose the boring answer because I would legitimately love to use their ski fields, which is New Zealand.
Of course it's New Zealand.
Okay.
Like I said, the peacekeeping right mission there. Is just picking off New Zealanders.
Wait, I thought that was a city in Australia.
Oh. I really hope you're not serious.
I'm kidding.
Geography has been questionable before. I had to make sure.
I am horrible at geography. I will admit that, but I do know New Zealand is not a part of
New Zealanders are basically Australians, right?
Exactly. So if they win, it's not.
Earlier in the year, I was half-heartedly looking at traveling to Auckland.
Auckland is nice. It is a pretty cool place, I have to say. I've never been. I just know a lot of people from New Zealand.
Where is Reykjavik? Is that?
Iceland. In Iceland, yeah.
That's Iceland? Okay.
That's very far from...
Yes.
Pretty much the opposite end of the world.
Might be the furthest you could go.
It's still a country. Anyway. Yeah. Is that it? So that's all Shimbo has been doing. That's what I've been doing. Squiddle, here's a chance to segue to another person in the podcast.
Oh, I thought you were asking me what I've been doing.
I'm the host.
I'm a horrible host. If you guys, this is the second time I've done this, I'm not very great. Okay, hold on. Let me get settled.
Mm-hmm.
Durin, how are you doing this evening? I'm fine listening to us talk about games and craziness. What have you been doing, sir?
Zoning out for the last half hour.
God, like our depth RPG discussion.
Uh-huh.
I did for like the first maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then, whew, I apologize to everybody listening. That was almost as bad. Like, I was about to say that was almost as bad as
last week's Final Fantasy discussion.
Well, I was going to say as a cynic story, but sure, that too.
Burn.
Final Fantasy discussion. I'm very upset.
You did.
No, I would say that was on par with a Nubarama strategy game discussion, except that person was interested.
True. And therefore it went on longer.
Since someone else guest actually gave a shit.
No, I've been playing a few things. I jumped back into Dark Souls 2 a little bit. I didn't get super far, but I did at least take down a boss finally. That's how far I've gotten now.
Your first boss?
My first boss in Dark Souls 2, yeah.
Did you do the giant first? Like, is that the first one you touched?
Yeah. He wasn't too bad. Yeah. I died more to everything on the way him than I did him.
Assume you opened the gate before you went in, right? You opened the gate before you went in?
I absolutely opened the gate before I went in. Anytime I see a door, I immediately open it just in case it's, you know, another shortcut.
Back. Yep.
Also, like, this is going quite a ways back when Brad was still actively playing Dark Souls 2, but... Was he trolling, or was he just still that early in the game that he? Because at one point he said that like it was especially true in Dark Souls 2 that like every mist door was a boss, and that isn't true at all.
Not at all. Yeah, I think he was.
I'm coming across like 4 or 5, and only one was a boss door.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know.
I think he's just incorrect, but it's definitely a case of, especially with Dark Souls 2, where you have a lot of pretty dense but small areas. You have a lot of fog doors that just lead to a hallway.
Yeah, yeah. I'm slowly kind of I'm just kind of going back at here and there to get through that game. I feel like if I were to actually try and just, you know, really marathon play through that, I will never finish it. I don't have the. I don't know, patience, I guess. I don't know. But speaking of games not having the patience for at times, Thurb has convinced me to finally go ahead and check out DayZ. So I'm playing some of that.
Go a podcast without talking about DayZ.
I actually have been enjoying my time with it. I really wish there was a fucking auto run button. I spent like probably 15 minutes yesterday just running to catch to like meet up with everybody.
So, Durin, you want to talk about things that need an auto run button? Fucking landmark.
Oh, I you know what? I played that one day and then I never went back.
Yeah,
That was only a 7-day access anyway.
Was it?
It's EverQuest Next Landmark Beta. Yeah, it was only a 7-day pass.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree. That also needs an auto run. But yeah, DayZ is interesting. We're playing with like a group of people, so if I was playing solo, I would have already given up on the game. I've been playing a little bit of that.
Talked about EverQuest Next on this podcast?
We don't really need to talk about it.
Yeah, there's yeah, there's.
I
not mean, much.
I enjoyed the bit that I messed around with it. I'm not gonna lie.
I enjoyed it to some extent, but like I'm willing to just wait until there's more of a game to it.
Well, what is there so far? I haven't been paying.
It's basically Minecraft right now. Like Minecraft with voxels. That's pretty much what's in the game.
Just
lots of sitting there picking away at minerals for a long time to gain enough to like actually try and maybe build something, but also like paying tax to keep your land, and you're paying the tax with minerals, so you're mining more minerals.
It's one of those things, you're mining minerals so you can get a thing. You're mining minerals for a long time to get a thing that makes mining minerals take less time.
See, yeah. How is this EverQuest?
It's a part of EverQuest Next. The building thing is going to be part of EverQuest Next.
Yeah, EverQuest Next like, Landmark is basically like their test thing for their whole building thing that's going to be a feature of the eventual MMO.
So you see this like, happening? Test different things before it goes live, like how this mechanic works.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could you see this mechanic working in an MMO? Like, is this something? This sounds like the least fun to me. Like, I don't know.
I mean, why yeah, like in Minecraft. I mean, Minecraft works as.
I never liked Minecraft.
MMO. Well, sure.
It can definitely work in an MMO, especially given that this is going to be a free-to-play MMO, because it's going to take a lot of time to actually do anything. But like it'll be interesting for player housing kind of stuff, because you can kind of build that stuff right there in the game world. Right. But I don't know. I don't know that it's going to be like the draw to that game. I think, you know, maybe if everything else is decent, that's a cool feature to have.
So this is like an area to the side of questing areas, because I can't imagine.
Obviously, I have no idea.
I believe they plan on this being in the game. Like the game is going to be fully destroyed.
Yeah.
So, Sydney, look at it like this. Let's say you I'm going to give you an idea that I'm thinking how they're going to try to go with this. I'm probably wrong.
Oh god.
All right.
Let's say you.
Let me sit down first. I'm sitting down now.
Okay, sitting down. Good. Awesome. You mine rocks because you have a tool that can. You cut down trees because you can. And then you gather those as a guild and say, I want to build a house, construct block of out of what we have, make building. That's my theory.
And it can work in MMO because I believe what's going to happen is like after a period of time, like things will rebuild themselves to some extent. Like you're not just going to find a giant hole in the wall that if your player falls down, you're going to die. And that's going to always be there. Like they're definitely going to fill that stuff in. But like,
there's also an escape to safety button already in there. So you can just sort of warp out.
Yeah.
Right.
But I mean, I imagine that's just because things are real early right now. I imagine that's not going to be in the final MMO.
I mean,
but we're all talking about an MMO that like it's probably going to launch in like 2017 or later, even. So we're quite a ways off of an actual game.
I've gotten to the point. I had to sound old, but I've gotten to the point in my life where. Saying things like 2017 is just an unimaginable distance away.
Wait, how old are you?
Far. I'm only 25.
Get over it, son. It does not feel that far away at my age, right?
Sonny. It only feels that far away just because that sounds like that sounds like a sci-fi date.
Yeah.
Back to the Future is almost here. Let's get real here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not.
Like I mean, to some extent, 2014 kind of sounds... crazy. But anyway, yeah, the Landmark, there's not much to talk about yet. There's not much of a game there.
How big is Sony for EverQuest?
Mario Kart 8.
Going back to Daisy, did there ever mention that he got to talk to that dude? No, just very quickly. It's not related to the game itself.
Did he mention what?
That he got to talk to that dude at PAX because we were staying in the same hotel?
No, I don't.
Like, whoever the DayZ dude is, you know what I'm talking about?
Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, he got to talk to him in our hotel lobby because we were staying in the same hotel.
That's kind of crazy.
Who did?
Thurb.
I don't remember. Oh.
He was kind of by himself, if I recall. He told me after the fact. Because, like, three quarters, I don't know if you noticed, but three quarters of our hotel had exhibitor badges.
Yeah, that's true. The guys that we asked to come up to our room drunkenly were exhibitors.
You mean Paul Walker?
Paul Walker, yes, Paul Walker. If you're listening to this, hey, dude,
his name was Paul Walker.
It was a pleasure to have a beer with you. You should have stayed longer. We had a great time. Wish you wouldn't have left. So,
putting that out there to the internet.
Don't drive a Porsche.
When we responded, like, really, your name's Paul Walker, and he was like, not that Paul Walker, but the panties drop it just the same.
Wow.
Because he was drunk off his ass, and so were we.
Wow.
But it's funny that I just want to say a little anecdote to that. The main developer for the game that they were doing was sober as like a church nun and didn't want to have anything to do with coming up to the room. And yet he was pulled by the rest of his group as we said, come up to come.
I didn't know that part. Because I showed up afterwards. I walked into your room and I was just like, who are these people?
Yeah. He was sitting on that stool where usually you put like clothes or a bag and like didn't want to get into the room fully. He was like not really wanting to socialize. And then at some point they were just like, okay, we're going to go. And then Paul Walker was still there. And he goes, where did the rest of my group go? And he tried to reach him on the phone. His phone was dead and we had to charge his phone. And then he finally got a hold of him and then left and never came back. So
I see. So what game were these guys working on?
I don't remember. I don't remember. I was so wasted. Yeah.
Wow.
But if they make it famous, and one of the guys' name is Paul Walker, that was probably him at that point. So we'll wait 10 years and see what happens.
Wait 10 years when their indie game finally releases on Steam.
Yep.
It's already there in early access.
Jesus.
Oh, okay.
I'm joking.
Okay, but yeah, Mario Kart 8. That's a game. I played exactly 4 tracks of it. It is Mario Kart. It has carts. It has 4-wheelers.
Does it have Mario?
It has Mario. It has Baby Mario.
Nope. No longer.
It also has
Baby Rosalina.
That is creepy.
Who's Rosalina?
She's the princess lady from Galaxy.
There's only one princess. That's Peach. There's no other princess in the Mario.
She's the galaxy princess.
Oh,
Mario World, not Super Mario World. That's something very different. There's only one planet in the Mario Galaxy, as far as I understand.
Yeah, Planet Mario.
Oh, God. Is it actually called Planet Mario? I hope so.
I don't know. I was more so referencing the planet spaceship Mario face thing from Galaxy 2.
Spaceball.
I never played those games.
But no, like Mario Kart 8, like I said, I played it for like 4 tracks, so I don't know how good or bad or whatever it is. It plays fine, plays good, plays like a good Mario Kart game. The tracks are very abstract this time around. They play around with gravity, I guess. Like you get these like anti-grav wheels, and so you'll go on like sideways loop-de-loops or just completely upside down. At one point, I entered the water sideways. Like I drove into a wall of water.
Okay.
You
sound really excited about this, but it sounds really disinteresting to me.
I almost bought a Wii U today for this.
If you like Mario Kart, this seems like a really solid Mario Kart game. If you don't like Mario Kart, this is not going to change your mind.
Yeah.
The YouTube integration stuff is kind of neat, but I haven't really messed with it. It's a cool idea. After each track, you can go back and like watch what it calls your highlights. And you can actually like, you know, record snippets and stuff like that. But it's cool because actually it does give you like some video control. So you can like kind of scrub forward, scrub backwards. You can like hold B to go into slow-mo, which is interesting. I don't know that I care to have another Mario Kart after this because like Mario Kart is now in HD and that's really all that matters. Like you don't really need anything past this. Like maybe eventually they can do a 4K Mario Kart and that'll be interesting, but this I feel like is about as far as they
have.
This is about as far as Mario Kart needs to go, I think.
Just on a scale of 1 to 10, how disappointing is the horn sound when you press it on the gamepad?
I don't know because my son was using the gamepad. I was using
the controller. Okay.
I did have a horn button on my gamepad or on my controller that the horn came out of the TV. But I wasn't really paying that much attention. I accidentally hit it because I was trying to figure out what buttons did what.
What is the function of the horn in that game?
It's just a horn.
It's a horn.
It's just a horn.
Okay.
Dinnick has a major Nintendo fatigue over there.
It's only been like 20 seconds. Like, I can't. I'm so, I look, really.
Look, your fatigue for this is how I feel when you're talking about Persona, okay?
It's okay. Cause like I said, I only played like 4 tracks, so I won't talk any more about it now, but I'll play more and we'll talk about it next week. So look forward to that, Dinnick.
You know what? I'll probably be here next week.
Next week, I'm not going to be here either.
I think that's pretty much what I've been playing. Waiting for Wildstar's Head Start starts tomorrow, so
I'm sorry.
Looking forward to actually getting and playing that.
Just to reiterate, that was actually a pay to play, right? That's not a free.
Yes.
Yeah,
that is a sub based one with the Eve system of like in game stuff that you can use to pay for your sub if you play enough.
It seems like not many people are excited, but the people that are very excited.
It's actually no. At one point, Green Man Gaming actually ran out of keys, wow. So it's selling pretty well. It seems like. I would say the people that you tend to roll with maybe aren't like there's not a lot of people there that are
judging by the internet in general.
Yeah, I have not seen many threads of hey, Wildstar is coming out.
Because the GAF OT is only 22 pages, which is not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might play it.
Has definitely seemed very populated so far from what I've seen. What I'm interested in seeing, though, is like, you know, it doesn't matter what the hype is leading into it. I'm curious to see what the game is like 2 months down the road.
Exactly.
Mm.
So in the meantime, I've been enjoying it and I can't wait to actually like have a character that sticks around. But yeah, who knows where it's going to be, especially, you know, being sub based. Final Fantasy 14 seems to have found an audience. So maybe this game will as well.
Good for them on that, because that saved that company.
Yeah, like it was crazy. Like when they called it out during their earnings call, like saying, like straight up, this game saved us. Thank you.
They have an A team, and whenever they actually use that A team, it turns out well. But fuck.
Well, and it was a big gamble for them too. Like you know, all the money they sunk into the version of that game, and it like damn near sunk the company. And so they made the decision to sink more money into the game. Like who else would like you would never EA would have shut that game down immediately. Activision would shut it down immediately. Like it's good on them for like you know seeing potential. And
EA would have just made it very sleazily free to play. Glares at Star Wars,
and then shut it down.
So no, the Old Republic still going.
Oh, Old Republic. Okay. Well, I mean, they did that to Warhammer. They made it free to play, and then like months later, shut it down.
I find it very interesting. I just want to make a comment on WildStar right now. I'm on the Amazon page where you can buy it. And they have it, if you type in Wildstar, it is, of course, a top search. But they have it under in MMO and free-to-play games.
Mm-hmm.
That's incorrect.
Exactly. Where Elvis for a
weapon. Oh, never mind. MMO and free-to-play is one big
category. Right. But Elvis Scroll right below it doesn't state it's in MMO. Elvis Scroll Online. And so I'm like, okay, that's confusing for people who are like, oh, it's free-to-play. Yeah. Cool, let me get it. And then...
Elder Scrolls Online is in MMO and free to play.
Is it free to play?
Yeah,
but that's weird. But I'm saying it's not categorized as either in their search thing. I just noticed that. I thought that was interesting.
Weird.
So, I like the cartooniness of WildStar. I have since I saw it. I
can't stand it. Oh my god.
I really do. You and me have always been at odds on things that we like, so I'm not surprised that I like it and you don't.
They looked at the Ratchet and Clank games and went, how could we...
No, more like they looked at the last game that they made and made a better looking version of it.
I'm talking less art style and more everything else style.
Like what everything else style?
Like the level up sound and the cupcake and the all of it's so bad. Oh my god!
Well, okay, they have a bad announcer voice guy. I would say that's pretty much the extent.
It's a bad announcer saying bad things.
but you can turn him off. So turn that off, and then that's not an issue.
Can I turn off the lightning that goes across my screen whenever I level up?
I'm not sure. Actually, now that you mention it, I'll have to look into that. I don't know if it turns everything off or if it just turns off his voice.
Who made WildStar? I know NCSoft is hosting WildStar.
Carbine.
The proper pronunciation of that word is Carbine.
Carbine Knight. There you go.
We're not having another Carbine discussion because I'll just get really mad at everyone that says
Carbine. I live in the South and it's always been called a Carbine for the rifle.
Yeah,
it's always been called a Carbine.
I wouldn't expect people in the South to correctly pronounce a French word.
Damn. Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough.
Oh, that's the French? Okay, then it's Carbine. Fuck the French.
It's Carbine.
It should be Carbine.
Not much better.
But yeah, I think that pretty much rounds out what I've been playing. I can't think of anything else.
All right. So I guess that leaves me as the only person who's left to be playing technically, which is 13th Age pretty much, and Transistor. I have been playing Transistor, and that game is awesome because it's Steam would have said I played 5 hours, but that's because I was playing it and then got up and then did other things and left it running.
Oh,
and then set back down. But I am not even remotely finished with that game. But I like the backstory and listening to all, because when you collect different pieces in that game that you can use your sword with, you are able to actually read a background of why those games came into play. So I thought that was pretty awesome. And I just love the art style and the sound and the music in that game. And I like the idea of the sword talking to you. I find that just like really awesome. So, oh, goddamn. Okay. But really, chat. Yeah, chat's throwing me off a bit here. But really that's in 13th Age, with Shin is really all that I has been really consuming my time lately. I jumped in the Guild Wars for like 2 minutes to make sure that I was still in the guild after the purge that I heard about, and that was about it.
Pretty much, we're all waiting for July 1st at this point.
Okay. Wait,
there was another purge. Am I gone?
Or
am I
still? No, you should be in there.
Okay.
It's pretty much the way the like last online thing works is there was like a cutoff date where it's like, hey, if you haven't logged in like since this date, it'll say unknown. So we just kicked everyone that said unknown because it was like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah. So really, that's, I want to say there was another thing. I guess you could say I technically played the new Rise of the Triads, because when I loaded up my laptop on the boot camp side, I was still running that game somehow without even having to log into the Windows. I don't know how that happened from when I was at a gaming convention.
Right.
And it said I had played that last Sunday, but I didn't. I don't know how that worked out. But really, that's the only game. I've been trying to get Hitman Go on my Android. They keep saying it's going to be out soon when they said that like a month ago. And it's still not out. And I'm kind of angry about that because I wanted to play it, but...
Guess what? Android is not for gaming. iPad. Android is for getting things done.
Yeah.
I want it for both. And based on that comment alone, Shin, I will probably be going back to an iPhone when the 5.5 comes out.
iPad mini.
If you're buying a phone for games, your head is in the wrong space.
No, it's not. It's not for games. I'll have both. And I'm going to buy a SIM card copier so that I can just keep both SIM cards in it and turn up which phone I want when I want to use it, because I am stupid crazy like that. And I want to have a big iPhone, a gigantic iPhone. But
the Lord knows if you want to be a power user and get shit done, you don't want an iPhone.
No, and I totally agree with that. I've done more with my Android than I could ever do with my iPhone.
But I wasn't saying it to be a dick. Like it's just true.
It is.
Yeah, it's true.
It's something about me wants to just get the new iPhone when it comes out. I don't know why.
Want to know what it is? It's the fucking fruit on the back. That's what it is.
It's like heroin. iPhone is heroin for young people. Parents, keep your kids away from Apple products. It is heroin.
Now they don't. It's just a terrible situation for everyone involved.
And,
yeah, I remain vigilant with my previous fucking statements last year, I think it was get an Android phone and an iPad and you're covered for games.
I don't think you've been here since I got this shiny HTC One.
Mm-hmm. The Android phone's awesome. But iOS is where you go for games.
Every time I think of possibly moving away from an iPhone and to an Android phone, my wife ends up getting a new phone. Granted, last time her phone was a Windows phone, so I can't blame that on anything but it being Windows phone. Uh-huh. But she then got the Galaxy S4, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it is like within weeks of having it, she was already having problems with it. It was just randomly opening random programs and flipping itself around, and like it wouldn't turn on.
You get the HTC One instead of the Galaxy.
But like after seeing that, I was like, yep, I'm just gonna stick with my iPhone.
Okay, I wanna tunnel vision everyone right here just for a second. Okay, I want you all to focus on the difference between a phone with an operating system that is designed and made by a company and one that is designed by a third party that throws bullshit in it that is not good. That's called a non-stock phone. You want the stock OS if you can, because all the other crap they throw in there breaks the entire experience.
Yeah, because it's not the phone's fault, it's the carrier's fault.
Yeah.
Squiddle is absolutely correct. She got a good phone with Samsung shit in it.
If you could get a Google Play edition of an Android phone, just fucking install CyanogenMod on it and be done.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Then it'll solve her problem.
I actually have not bothered to install CyanogenMod on here because HTC's stuff is good. It's just a launcher. It's good in that it's just a launcher. So I just installed Nova and I never have to deal with it.
I did the same for my dad's phone. He has the HTC one as well. I just chucked on Nova and left it. It was good.
Yeah. So anyway, that phone talk, I mean, it's just, there are things that can go off about. One is vaping and the other one are phones. They're my two passions in life. All right.
I think we have to rewind a little bit, though, because Duren has a game he wants to talk about.
Yes, and I disagree.
I'm so curious.
He does not have a game he wants to talk about.
Hold on, I have a question. Would the game be better if there were less underscores?
I'm so fucking tired of hearing about this game already.
No, there need to be more underscores.
I'm so shocked that this game was actually as like the worst case scenario. One of the worst case scenarios.
So what you're saying is the game is very underscored.
That was worth it. That was worth this whole segue.
That was a pretty bad segue. I don't really know.
I've been kind of avoiding a lot of the talk about the game because I'm playing it and I'm, you know, spoilers and all that.
It's not a bad game, right?
Granted, the PC version, there is, I've seen the stuttering that Brad was talking about. I've definitely been seeing that, especially when driving around.
Game runs so poorly that I've been hiccuping.
But that's the thing. Like I think people are either they have AMD stuff, which, you know, that's their own damn fault, or they're blowing it way out of proportion. Because like I see the stuttering when I'm driving, the game is still totally playable. Like I don't have any issues playing the game at all. Maybe I've gotten lucky. I don't know. Maybe it's like karma for all the shit. Well, I'm thinking like maybe it's all the karma for all the shit I dealt with fucking Fallout. Because fuck that game, it's a broken piece of shit.
I don't think anyone would argue against
Fallout 3 specifically.
Broken piece of shit.
I just finally got that game working after all the years of owning it because I downloaded a program that disables Game for Windows Live, and that was what fixed it. Turns out the broken piece of software that was attached to that game that is no longer operating anymore is still causing that game to not work. And it's never going to get fixed. So... But anyway, Watch Dogs.
Is it beautiful?
I put a few hours into it. It is very, very good looking. So they were saying on Giant Bomb that they thought that Infamous was a better looking game, and I would say Infamous is a sharper looking game. The environments are more interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's necessarily a better looking game. Specifically,
to be fair,
I
mean, you compare a PS4 to a PC. You're running this in a very PC.
Yeah, I imagine if Infamous was running on a PC, it probably would look better than Watch Dogs. But
I like the lighting of Infamous more, and I'm a lighting person, the Shinboy knows.
The lighting of Infamous is actually really, really good. Yeah. Although nighttime in Watch Dogs looks really nice. I like it.
You know what actually did look really good, even compared to Watch Dogs, is Watch Dogs at E3 2012.
Oh, man.
Damn.
Burn.
Damn.
Then it got really soft.
But, you know, that's not, Dark Souls was not made by Ubisoft. Like, that's just a thing that happens.
Which is why I said Dark Souls got Ubisofted.
But gameplay-wise, the game is totally fine. I have been enjoying it. I'm probably going to turn off, I might turn off the invading stuff. Only because
So there is an invasion or invading aspect to this game?
Yeah, that's
I've heard rumor. How, like, I didn't hear much about it, though.
Yeah, that's how the like persistent multiplayer thing sort of happens, is people can like choose to invade your game. They don't do it directly. They more so just get into a queue and then they throw them at you.
So it is literally just the Dark Souls invading system.
Pretty much. The thing that's that can be kind of annoying about it, though, is I had it happen to me as I was getting ready. And this isn't the canned one that they did in the quick look. This was later on. I had it happen to me as I was grabbing a mission, and that sucks.
Mm. Wait, so...
Like I was literally pressing the button to grab the mission. It's like, nope, mission unavailable. You're being invaded.
Oh, right.
So you can't do missions while you're being invaded? That's kind of stupid.
Well, no, like, that's the thing. Like, I was getting ready to start the mission. Like, I was walking up to the prompt to start the mission.
So it's the opposite in that case, where in Dark Souls, if you're about to do something important, the invader gets kicked out and you're fine. Whereas in this, they went the other path and you actually can't fucking start something you want to do because you're getting invaded.
Well, yeah. Wouldn't you think you'd want to have that? So, like, in the cutscene, that person could just come up and, like, kill you?
If no, I don't want that at all.
You can't start the mission at all. Like, that's the thing. Like, it literally just cuts the mission out entirely. You can't do the mission until after the invasion is over. Now, the plus side is the invasions aren't as bad as that first canned one makes it out to be. Because if they were going to be like that, I was going to shut it off immediately. Where in that one, like, you go to grab a mission and it's like, oh, you're being invaded. And it gives you the tutorial screen and then, like, tells you, okay, now go travel like 500 feet that way to go start this invasion thing. That's not how they actually work. The player is already in your vicinity when the invasion starts. So you don't, that's what I was worried about, is having to travel away from a mission objective to go do the stupid invasion. So thankfully you don't have to do that. It is in the area around you. But the problem, I think, with the invasions in that game is that because the player can be at any height compared to you, it's very, very easy for that player just to hide somewhere that you're never going to fucking find them. I saw a stream where a guy was invading somebody, and he was hiding on the railroad tracks of the train, like on the bridge up above, where there was no way in hell the player was ever going to go up there. Like, trains were running back and forth and everything. So, like, some areas it could work, but anywhere where there's a lot of verticality, there's not going to be... you're never going to actually find the person, and that kind of sucks.
It's just pure fucking trolling at that point. It's just trolling.
Yeah, yeah. It's your invasion level, whatever it's called, your reputation level is basically your troll level.
But you can turn that off, you said, right?
Like, but you can absolutely just turn it off and you'll never see it again. You can get missions that are online missions. That'll kind of randomly pop up. You'll know because they're outlined in purple, and you can choose to do those. That's essentially like the game. Like, when you're running around not doing much of anything, the game will try to prompt you with some missions to give you something to do, which is kind of nice as somebody who tends to give up on like open sandbox games because I can't decide what to do next. And some of those are online missions. Some of them are offline missions. So it's kind of nice that those things pop up. And if you don't want to do it, you just ignore it or whatever. It's not like it's like, you know, yelling at you or somebody calling you on the phone asking you to go bowling or something. but like, story-wise, the game, I'm still pretty early on. Seems kind of interesting. I can see what they're talking about on Giant Bomb with like the things kind of feeling a little disconnected with like the stuff you're doing and some of the side missions and what you're doing in the main narrative. The character...
It's always been broken open world games.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about it like with this one is like the character just seems... Like, they weren't sure which way to take him.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was doing a mission
where... Trying to make him an anti-hero, but...
Yeah. Like, I was doing a mission where, like, I was... what was it I was doing? I was, like, hacking into this thing to get some information or whatever. Bunch of dudes all show up, and, like, I got to kill them all. And I'm using the environment to kill, like, most of them. Getting away from there and go and do, like, a main story mission where I'm going to, like, a kid's birthday party. And then like you in the birthday party, like your sister is getting prank called by somebody. And so then you go and like jump in a car and hunt them down. And I don't know. And like your sister calls you up and she's like, you're chasing them, aren't you? You shouldn't be doing that.
That's like, pretty funny.
I don't know. It's weird. The gameplay's fun. The story, I'm not sure about yet.
I think like a lot of the criticisms being leveled at it is that the story and characters just don't seem to be connecting with people as much as they could have.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't, like, Jeff definitely, looking at his review, because I've been reading it as well, you've been talking about it, just did not.
It's so generic.
Yeah.
Like, I could see what Jeff was talking about. Like, you know, this is Chicago and you expect something out of Chicago. And yeah, like, you know, the, if you saw that in the quick look, the like faceless person that had been communicating you in the beginning of the game, like you meet up with her in person and she has this like vaguely French Canadian accent and you're in Chicago.
So if you had, let's say, two open world games, if I had to play between Watch Dogs or Watch underscore Dogs, and I had to play GTA 5 and purchase on the same price level that they both are for PC, mm-hmm. when PC comes out, obviously, which one should I choose, do you think?
I would still say Watch Dogs because the multiplayer stuff is more interesting and I think has a chance to be longer lasting than the kind of openness, because like Watch Dogs has kind of a free roam online mode if you want to do that, which is basically what GTA's online sort of is. But see, I don't know though, because at the same time, GTA's world is a lot more interesting and the characters are different.
Yeah, if you're single player only, you should get GTA, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. If you're looking for something like this, like, you know, a longer lasting game, something that, you know, you might want to come back to over and over again, like I would maybe say Watch Dogs, but yeah, if you're just wanting to play through the story, and you know, interested in the narrative and the characters and all that, I would say GTA.
So,
yeah.
Do you think there?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, do you think there are too many games that focus on we have to have a multiplayer aspect in our game to even make it in the realm of games nowadays? Because one of the things that makes me angry is that a game will seem like it's really good. They have an awesome idea, and maybe they have a good story, but then when they come to release, we have this multiplayer that, honestly, myself, I do not care about multiplayer in any form or fashion, unless I'm playing an MMO. And it ruins, I feel that it probably ruined any other development they were doing on the original game itself.
No, actually, well, in regards to Watch Dogs, I think the multiplayer in that game, given the premise of the story and everything, the whole hacking and all that, and all these different other hackers and stuff, the multiplayer could have actually been really interesting. I think I feel like they just kind of fell flat on it. No, I think actually what the biggest issue, I think, with a lot of games is it's not that like so many games are just shoehorning in multiplayer. I think too many games are shoehorning in open world.
That's what I was about to get to. Thank you.
Okay.
Like, everybody feels like in order to be successful, they have to be open world. Boring.
Every single one of them. They're all terrible.
Slow down, guys.
Every single open world game that I've ever played, the open world itself has felt completely unnecessary and terribly boring.
I disagree.
All of the GTA games are super boring.
The Infamous games generally make me like a lot of the open world in them. And
just because getting around in them is fun, but like Saints Row, I don't think the open world is that great. Infamous, I don't really think it's that great. It's kind of cool, but I don't really care.
So when we say openness, do we mean, are you talking about more like side stories to the main story?
I'm just saying like the fact that it's a big world to run around.
A big giant map. Yeah. Like a big giant map with, you know, things to do kind of spotted around the map randomly. I don't know. Like, that's the issue is when you do an open world game like that, you know, unless you are Rockstar who can put the money into putting, you know, a new thing around every turn, a lot of those open world games just they kind of feel empty. And the development that goes into trying to fill out this open world that, you know, almost always fails at doing, like, you could have had a lot more interesting story, more interesting environments, and definitely more interesting characters if you just focused down focused on, you know, the really good narrative that you're trying to give.
Basically, what I want is the gameplay mechanics of something like Infamous, because I think those games are pretty fun, and the world of GTA, because I don't think those games are very fun.
Like, I think Watch Dogs
which
actually
is almost impossible,
been,
right?
I think Watch Dogs could have actually been a really interesting game if they would have not made an open world.
So what in compare and contrast between a GTA, Watch Dogs, and Sleeping Dogs. Is it Sleeping Dogs? Is that right?
Yes, Sleeping Dogs.
That's an open world game.
Okay. Was Sleeping Dogs as bad as an open world game as you would have expected, Shin? Or, I mean, did you enjoy
Sleeping Dogs? I didn't play Sleeping Dogs because I just didn't.
Okay.
Sleeping Dogs actually, like, yeah, that was actually...
Because I play Sleeping Dogs. I like Sleeping Dogs.
I like Sleeping Dogs.
Do I own Sleeping Dogs? I probably own Sleeping Dogs.
That was actually, yeah, that was actually a pretty decent one. A lot of the side stuff was, you know, could be fun to do. The world was actually interesting. Like, at least visually, I would say.
It was an interesting setting, definitely.
Yeah. They did a good job of you know, giving the world of that city a personality that I think Watch Dogs severely lacks.
I'll probably enjoy that, because I've noticed that, like, if we're talking, like, gameplay mechanics aside, like, what Squiddle enjoys is, like, he needs a story to keep him going. Cynic, you're more of, like, a character's guy, if I had to take a guess.
Yeah.
I'm just sort of generalizing. Like, story and the characters involved in said story.
Yeah.
I am more of a world person.
Right.
That, like, one of the reasons, like, we've had this discussion before, especially around Game of the Year time last year, but one of the reasons I think The Last of Us is vastly overrated is because if you take those characters out of the equation, that world is immensely boring and generic.
I can see where you're coming from. Like, it's an argument I can definitely see some merit in, especially if you compare it to Bioshock Infinite, which was your pick.
Yes.
And how imaginative that world was.
Which may not, like, the story they're telling in there may have its plot holes and may not be for everyone, but the world is super interesting.
Yeah.
So if you took a game, I'm going to try to go on a ledge here. If you could take a game, remove your main character, put it in an MMO character that had no impact really on the game itself, but because what I'm getting from this is, if you were to take out, I'm trying to get my mind around.
Struggling through this.
I'm sorry. Take the main character out of any game. If the world could be solid enough for an MMO to have things that happen within it without your character being the main focal point, that would be a good game if it was not an MMO.
What?
Does that make any sense? Okay.
I think what he's getting at is, like, your character, your protagonist is, you know, this nameless person. You create them. You are playing a game in a world where you are not
you're not directly affected.
What is the trope? Well, basically, you are not the savior of the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You are just another dude in the world. Similar to the idea of an MMO, though MMOs tend, you, by the end of it, you are the savior of the world. So I'm not sure that comparison.
Well, the only reason I say that is we take Bioshock Infinite, and let's remove what's his face and what's her face.
Booker and Elizabeth.
Yeah, and if it was just a world where you walked around and visited the stores and the people and had adventures based on that was already there, that would still be a fun game because there was stuff in the world to do and the world was very well built.
Yeah, it's kind of like Gone Home is an easy example. Because people were talking about, like, the story is so great, the characters they build are so great, and I just did not care about any of that at all because I pretty much saw where it was going. And I was more interested in about, like, oh, what's the history of, like, this house in general and what's going on in this version of the world?
This time period.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a matter of perspectives and who looks for what in a game. Because I loved Gone Home for the characters.
I enjoyed Gone Home. Don't get me wrong. Just for different reasons.
Yeah. and I liked Bioshock Infinite for the characters and the story, and I didn't particularly like Columbia was just overbearing a bit much for me. Like it's definitely a case of different people looking for different things in games. And I can definitely see why Shinboy would look at most open world games and go, okay, this has no character interest.
Yeah. But, I was gonna say, like, him saying that he is a world person totally makes sense why you have no interest in Watch Dogs whatsoever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because that is easily the worst part of the game is the world.
Yeah. And so this has no character. Like it's weird because Chicago, especially because one of my favorite series of books, which is the Dresden Files, is very based in Chicago.
Oh, the Dresden Files.
Fuck yeah. And I'm reading the newest one now. Chicago is a series with a lot of history with a lot of like wow, I just skipped it twice.
City.
A city with a lot of history and environment and like a lot of culture. But it's almost impossible for a game to convey that because the amount of work you'd have to do in scripting of NPCs and putting in different NPCs and just that element of stuff because the city isn't
stuff that Rockstar does.
Yeah.
Well, what I was saying is like, that's why, you know, when they were talking about that on Giant Bomb, I think they hit it spot on. The way that you pull that off is the way that Rockstar does, where you make it a caricature of that city. You don't try to recreate the city. You just take the big points and make sure those are represented.
Yeah, and it's like what infamous.
I did not see a single hot dog vendor on the side of the road anywhere in that city.
See, and as somebody that has never been to Chicago, I don't know what to expect. to be honest, I will say, if you said New York, I would know what to expect, even though I'd never, at the time, let's say I never went to New York, I had a general idea of what New York was. Chicago, I have no idea what
now
Chicago
I have another question.
Is. Like what it, what the history behind it is. So.
Since I'm pretty sure I haven't asked you this question, what are your thoughts on actual New York versus your vision of New York?
I think it is, if we take, okay, so if we were to take what I thought New York was and what I actually see New York is.
The Venn diagram.
It is a little cleaner, and that's about it. Not less dangerous. Like I never thought New York as being the city where you're going to get raped and pillaged on every corner because you don't know.
In spite of the fact that last week the lady from New York had constant fucking sirens and shit going on in the background.
But you know, I New York was awesome. I mean, I knew it would be fun. I knew it'd be cool. But it was a lot cleaner, and the subway or the trail or trolley or whatever you want to call it.
Trolley, yes.
I don't know either of those things. The trail or trolley are what they call it.
I believe it is called the subway.
Was a lot more, hey, this really works and it's kind of cool. I've been to England before I went to New York, which is interesting. That should not make sense, right? Theoretically, that's technically. The rail was very clean and very fun. And I thought, okay, cool. All trains should be like this. And when I went to New York, I was like, yeah, it's pretty much the same idea. It's pretty good.
The
it's pretty
subway
awesome.
In New York is fucking business, though. Like, you are there to get from point A to point B and no other reason.
Yeah, that was my biggest fear, is that I would go too slow walking around. Yep. And I was going to be like stepped on. That was probably my biggest fear. And then I realized, just keep walking. No matter where
life
you are,
moves quickly.
Just keep walking and find a. My dad always taught me when driving, find a point in the road and stare at it. If you're going along a cliff, because I learned to drive in Denver where there was like cliffs to one side of you and tight roads. So stare at the white line. Keep it in your vision when you're going around a turn. You'll be fine. I took the same concept when I went to New York. Keep going straight. If you see a place you want to go, look at it, know it's there, and then just kind of start gradually moving that direction, and you'll get there. But don't stop, make a turn, cut people off, and then try to beeline it there, or you'll piss someone off.
Yep. And they will let you know.
Yeah.
Well.
So Chicago, I still don't know what you're all about, but everybody seems to love you, and so I'll have to go someday.
Yep.
I've been to Chicago like once. It was a while ago. I don't remember much.
Yeah, I
got pizza as well. And went, this isn't pizza. This is like dinner. And moved on with my life.
Yeah, I would say my Chicago, we went to the pier, ate at Bubba Gump Shrimp Company.
Oh, yes, that fine Chicago establishment.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's where I bought my Lord of the Rings
pants. Got fried shrimp.
And my number one memory of Chicago will always be, we were down, I guess, the park area where, like, Soldier Field and the Field Museum and the aquarium are in that general vicinity near the water. And we had a choice. We could either go to the aquarium or the Field Museum. And at the time, the Field Museum had the traveling exhibit of all of the King Tut stuff.
Well, awesome.
I wanted to go there so bad, but my sister was being a whiny little bitch, so we went to the aquarium, and I still hold that against her and my parents.
I saw the King Tut stuff when it came to San Antonio.
Wow.
This would be 2006.
She's wrong. No, that was the wrong choice. That was clearly all the wrong choices.
I'm getting upset just sitting here thinking about it.
That said, so Durin, just overall, like, are you going to go back to Watch Dogs? Are you going to play it more, or are you just
definitely
done with it?
No, I'm enjoying. Like, the world is, you know, what it is or whatever, but the gameplay is fun. I'm failing at stealth like I usually do, so I always go into the mission trying to not kill anybody, and I think so far I've murdered like probably a good 40 security guards. Haven't killed a cop yet.
Sucks. Like, I really don't like how that game turned out.
It's my own fault. Like, it's not like the game. I'm not at all blaming the game for my inability to stealth around.
Yeah, but like, I'm bad at it. Stealth. Like, unless it's like a proper ass, proper stealth game.
Well, you don't have to, though. That's the thing. Like,
but the alternative is just killing everyone, which is also just stupid.
I don't. I mean, how else are you get like? You're either going to stealth or you're going to kill.
I like how those are now like the only two ways.
You're not just going to somehow like. There is this game system where you can walk. Okay, well, I was about to say where you can just walk your way in, but I'm like, wait, that's Hitman.
Exactly. See? How awesome would this be if it's like a Hitman with technology? Like, it would be so much more interesting.
Well, Hitman kind of does have technology. It's got newer guns.
Well, that's like with the Hitman with hacking stuff around you and like turning off lights and shit.
So instead of the barcode being a barcode, it's like a microchip implanted in his head. And instead of a cell QR phone,
code now.
He QR, there you go. There you go. And his head is an antenna that broadcasts out to wireless signals that pick up and then he can hack things. And
I don't know why you can't do this with a cell phone, but okay.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Yes, exactly like that, Squiggle. Exactly like that.
So
that's what I mean. Like that could have been an interesting game where it wasn't focusing on killing people or old school type stealth. I prefer more world based infiltration.
To me, it's definitely still an interesting game. If there's any real like disappointment, I guess maybe that I would say I have with it, it's that it didn't turn out to be, you know, what everyone hoped it to be. This isn't the, you know, heralding of the next generation. We're still waiting on that.
I still like, as a person who kind of got disassociated or disinterested in Watch Dogs as I found out more about it, I don't know why that image was built around it.
I think a lot of it was what they were claiming they were going to be doing with the multiplayer. This idea of like, you know, kind of multiplayer people be kind of always being in and out of your game, which is what they made it sound like. And instead, it seems like maybe that didn't come together the way they'd hoped. So it's right. Dark Souls.
Sounds like a cell phone. Yeah, and a poor implementation of it, though. Like, doesn't sound as interesting an implementation.
Who knows? Maybe Project Beast will have cell phones.
Shotguns. The 18 seconds or whatever it was I saw of that game looked pretty interesting, I guess. I don't know. Squiggle, I think it's time to move on to news or whatever.
Yeah,
there's news.
Is there news? I was kind of asking.
There's one bit of news.
We ever get any emails?
There's one bit of news.
Okay, news.
Did we talk about this? Oh, we might have talked about it last week. Vinny's moving to New York. Did we talk about that last week?
Excuse me. He's moving to New Jersey.
Is he really?
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Second news I want to announce.
He mentioned a whole bunch on the podcast.
New Jersey. I will be living a couple doors down from Shin now and signing up to work at a Giant Bomb.
New York.
East New York.
Yeah, Giant Bomb East. Vinny moving is, like, I'm not sure who was here last week now that you mentioned it. I thought you were here, Duren. We did talk about it last week.
I couldn't remember if we talked about it.
Yeah, no. What are you guys' thoughts? I have hopes in Giant Bomb East.
If it was one of the other guys moving, I would maybe have less hopes, unless it maybe was Jeff or something. But like, I think Vinny has it.
He has the power.
Vinny has the potential to do some really interesting and fun things over there. And I think he'll get away with a lot more without, you know, corporate CBS eye people. You know, he doesn't have to go to meetings anymore. How about that?
Oh, he might still have to go to meetings.
He might Skype in here and there, but I don't know. I think this way, like, Patrick's moved away and he's able to do a lot more now than he ever did when he was in the office. So I'm hoping we see something like that out of Vinny.
Vinny on the morning show.
Oh, that'd be so awesome.
I might actually start watching this.
Oh, Bombing in the AM with Vinny amazing, and that's all it has to be called. It doesn't have to be called Squeeze in the Wolf.
The Friday show. The Friday show is the one without the guests, right?
Yes,
vastly. I like the Friday shows.
Yeah, vastly prefer it without the guests.
While the guests are normally interesting in concept, most of them are not very good on camera.
Or they just end up talking about what they've been doing, and I don't care usually. Like 99% of the time, I don't care about some random indie game. Patrick Lepik, I don't. I know you're interested in that game. I'm not. But no, it's going to be. I'm interested to find out how long it'll take for them to even start pumping out content, because I don't see it happening within the next month or 2 months.
Even. Well, I mean, definitely not within the next month, not with E3. Yeah. But
it's going to be.
All right, so here's. I'm not going to be here next week, so here's. Mm-hmm. We should do hot E3 predictions.
Yeah, no. Just before we get to E3 predictions, because that is the trajectory of the show. It's going to end with that. Before there, did you guys see the footage from what's his face? The Order 1886.
Oh, the game that's delayed.
Oh, the was it like 19 seconds of it or whatever? No, I didn't bother.
Yeah, no, it was like a minute and something. It looked pretty good. It looked pretty good. That's all I had to say.
That's the one that came out of the carriage, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yes, one they described in the podcast as well.
Yep.
Like, as soon as I heard that that came out and then immediately heard that it was delayed to 2015, I don't care about that footage anymore.
Yep.
Is that because of Watch Dogs? Is that what we're getting at? Like, Watch Dogs and Dark Souls damaging us for games that are announced and look great, and then a year later they come out.
So it's more so like they made this big deal about showing off a minute of footage. Mm-hmm. And then delayed the game to 2015. It's like, well, whatever that footage is not going to be representative of the final game at this point, because you just delayed
it. If you want games that look great that were delayed to next year, we can turn this into a Witcher 3 podcast really quick.
Oh my God, I can't believe how nothing is coming out this year. Like nothing. Nothing we were interested in.
What game was it they announced at the PlayStation? Were they had like the real character with the CGI characters. Remember that little stunt they did?
Last year?
Yeah, no, when they announced like the PS4, they had a real actor that was doing his acting, and then he was interacting with CGI characters, and like a little imp kept trying to do this thing. And
that wasn't not, that, he wasn't, that wasn't an actual dude. That was
that was graphics. Rendered. Yeah.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, that was what was that? What game was it?
He's talking about the Black Sorcerer or whatever.
That weird sorcerer thing.
Oh, okay.
That like, oh, it's a movie set.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was the name of the game, though?
It wasn't a game. It was a tech demo.
It was a tech demo.
Oh, I thought it was a game. I was so excited for that game.
They might be making it into a game.
And now I'm really sad because they screwed
also, that up. Also, Cynic, you said that nothing is coming out this year, but I think you're forgetting that Ruby and Sapphire are coming out this year.
Yep.
I'm not playing those games.
Are you?
I mean, I didn't say I was playing them. I'm buying.
Do you like Ruby and Sapphire?
No, they're all right. I just said it's fucking Ruby and Sapphire when we just played X and Y, and X and Y is far more interesting development.
It was funny because that was announced.
More like X and Y, at least.
They were announced, and then I spent the entire day after they were announced sort of slowly realizing over the course of the day that Hoenn is terrible.
is that the one with Miltank? Is Miltank in fucking...
No, Miltank is Golden Silver.
Yeah, I can't. Okay.
I just beat Miltank not too long ago in Soul Silver. Fuck Miltank.
But no, I think this might be the Pokemon game that I just skipped because I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care. It's going backwards. Like Pokemon X and Y was such an awesome step forward.
They've always done remakes. This is not a new thing.
I'm just restating that nothing's coming out this year that's interesting yet. Like what I can't.
Think I can't of. Think of anything.
Yeah,
Batman. Maybe.
Maybe. Unless it gets pushed to January.
I wanted to bring up Batman in our open world discussions because I actually think Arkham Asylum, the first one, was.
Never played either of those games.
Arkham Asylum and Arkham City are a great example of games don't need to go fucking open world, because Arkham Asylum was great. Arkham City
is considered an open world to some degree.
No, not really.
Arkham City may be open world
to the Asylum itself.
Yeah,
that's about it.
It's open world in the same way that, like, you know, Metroid is open world.
Open world and non-linear do not mean the same thing in this context.
Yeah, it's a non-linear game, definitely. But I would not call it open world.
Man, I fucking love Metroid, you guys.
But like I said, you know, then they moved it to Arkham City, and that game was bad. So, well, it was bad until you went into a building, and then it was Arkham Asylum, and you remember how great that first game was.
I haven't played either of those games, so I have no idea.
Does anybody remember back in the day when the real pitch was this game coming out is like 200 hours non-linear gameplay, and that was like the big selling point? Like, that was an awesome game if it was like that. Does anybody remember that? Like, I never thought that was an awesome game.
That's
kind of what Skyrim is. Skyrim's fucking awesome. I don't know. Yeah. 200 hours of non-linear gameplay.
I like Skyrim.
I'm saying when those types of things were being, you know, quoted, like that was, you know, the Morrowind days and that.
Yeah.
Somebody again who prefers a bit more of a guided game, Morrowind was not a fun game to play.
Wow. I don't mind.
I like Morrowind because I could break it and just destroy people and then have everyone hate me. The same thing I did in Skyrim. So I liked it for that fact.
But anyway, right, so we were news.
Anyway, news.
So yeah, The Order looks cool, but I don't think it's going to look like that in a year because it's going to follow this fucking weird trend of games looking shitter at release.
Ready at Dawn seems to know what they're doing tech-wise.
I want to add one more thing to that. Do they look shittier because nobody knows how to program for the new consoles and nobody actually programs for a PC stats?
A lot of it is that they have a vision for the game. And at some point in the development, it looks like that. And as they add more and more to the game, they need to start actually making concessions to make the game run properly.
It's very easy to make an E3 demo. No. This has nothing to do with consoles or PC at all. It has zero to do with that.
Okay,
it's just all about development cycle.
It has to do with making a small chunk of a game look very good because that's very easy.
Okay. Well, it's not so much that. It's like that. You know, that is. It's not that they're trying to like pull the wool over our eyes.
I know.
You're like, oh, this game, you know, this is amazing. Look at this game, and then they release something that looks like shit. It's more at some point optimization starts to happen, and they start to realize like, okay, we need to tone this down. We need to tone the lighting down so that we can get the frame rate where it needs to be. We can get the resolution where it needs to be. You know, we only have so much of this to work with. You know, we have to make sure AI is functional, so we're gonna have to make some cutbacks over here. Like that stuff. Those decisions have to start making,
doesn't it?
Well,
and that's where that starts to happen.
So that's based on technology. Let me just broaden that horizon. Based on,
I would say it's technology, based on maybe knowledge of technology, because obviously that stuff gets better as the you know,
as the generation goes on.
As generation goes on, yeah.
All right. Things start looking closer to,
but
like,
no,
at the moment.
It's not some weird thing where they're screwing over PC people. That's all crazy people talking about.
No. I don't think that. But my ultimate concern has always been that they make a game that looks good, and then they have to go, okay, more people are going to buy on console than PC because PC people are ultimately just going to torrent it, and we don't give a shit about them. That's my opinion.
It's not so much that as it is they always have to make a game for the lowest common denominator. That's why you see most third-party developers not making versions of their game for the Wii U, because that is too low of a denominator at this point, especially with all the moving towards current generation only.
Yeah,
which is why I think Witcher is an amazing game for what it is when it came out, because it was PC. I mean, it was designed, if I'm not mistaken, I may be wrong, but it was designed mainly for PC audience.
Designed only for PC.
Right. Okay.
Witcher 1 was a PC game.
There you go.
But also from Poland, so
there's that.
But it's going to be it's going to be a thing for a while, because all the games currently being developed were developed for a moving target, and as things settle as to what games can do with current hardware and then be ported to PC with higher specs, etc., that'll change.
It sucks to have to think this far ahead, but like where the real interesting stuff will start coming out is probably going to be next year, where games have been in development for these consoles exclusively for long enough that they've learned some of the tricks. And, you know, the whole 1080p versus 900p thing is probably going to go away by then. And the games in general will start looking better and running better and having more interesting stuff.
And speaking of next year being the more interesting year to look forward to, let's talk about E3.
Oh, I don't know what's going to happen there.
I don't know. I was so excited for E3 this year until I heard
Microsoft's going to have a game from Platinum on stage.
Like the only hope I would say I still have for E3 is, I think I said this last week when we were talking about this, is like, you know, Jeff seems kind of down on what to expect at E3 based on what he saw at Judges Week and everything. But the only hope I have is that, you know, the stuff that they show at Judges Week is the stuff that is not going to be part of press conference stuff. So I'm hoping that's what we're going to see. Even if those are 2015 releases, which I think a lot of them will be, I think that's where we're going to see the really interesting stuff that could potentially make this a good E3.
One of the things I was surprised about when Patrick was talking, and one of the things he was doing, I believe, he said he didn't know which group to cut. They were saying like, hey, we have a big announcement. Do you want to come to our panel and listen to it? But they would not tell them what they're doing. And I didn't realize that even the developers are like, we're not even going to tell the news people what we're going to be advertising, even if it's under NDA. You need to come and look at it. And then,
Because, I mean, leaks happen internally. The last thing they're going to do is let the press know.
Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that it was even that secret to.
It goes beyond that. Like, honestly, there are. I've heard stories of this before, you know, from, you know, blog posts or whatever, tweets from people in the industry, like, you know, developers and stuff. And a lot of the developers themselves, or maybe not so much developers, but, you know, people within the same company don't know actually what's going to be shown until like day before when they're doing the rehearsals and stuff. Yeah, that's why you see a lot of like days before E3 you start seeing leaks, because mm-hmm. that's the first time some people are actually seeing the game that their company is working on.
Okay. Yeah, it happened with both Watch Dogs and Division, where Watch Dogs was revealed and no one in fucking Ubisoft knew about Watch Dogs. Yeah. Last year, The Division was revealed and no one in Ubisoft knew about Division either. It was just like massive. That's how you get secrets.
Maybe if somebody at Sony knew about Division, it would have been out this year. And maybe if somebody knew about Watch Dogs, it wouldn't have been as shitty. So let's look at it.
If you thought The Division was coming out this year, you were a crazy person.
I don't think anyone thought that game was coming out this year.
But it's one of those things, like Sony last year, they were talking about how during the rehearsals for everything, when it came to details like price mm-hmm. or the actual look of the console itself, they would have like the dude, they would have like Andrew House or whoever, Jack Tretton, and just sort of mumble nonsense instead of saying the price, or would hold up like a placeholder, like plastic rectangle, mm-hmm. generic ass cube for the console. Okay,
They kind of had to go to like crazy lengths with some of this stuff to keep the secrets, because again, like leaks happen internally all the time, so they can't even trust their own people.
So me and Duren got to talk about this last week. Shinboy and Squiddle. I'm going to just take over from Squiddle because he's doing a fucking terrible job at hosting. What are your thoughts?
Fuck you. God damn. I have a great closer. I have a great closer.
Calm down, because he's not wrong.
God, I know he's not wrong. I'm not denying he's wrong, but man, calling me out? Jeez.
Shinboy, what are your thoughts on E3? What are your predictions?
Platinum is going to have an Xbox One exclusive game on stage for Microsoft.
Will it be enough to make you and me buy an Xbox One? Because it's possible.
No, because I don't care about Platinum that much.
What? Vanquish 2? I might know.
I can't get into Vanquish. I'm just saying.
I don't know. It didn't save Nintendo.
It didn't save Nintendo.
Granted, they still haven't released it yet, but they're, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm. They're probably going to have... Okay.
God, it's fucking crazy. We're 2 years out from the Wii U's launch, and we still haven't seen Bayonetta 2.
Yep. I don't know why, because it's never coming out.
It'll come out this year. I just don't know.
It'll come out, and then it won't sell because nobody cares about it anymore.
I didn't know until just now what Platinum even did. So,
but they were previously Clover, where they made their best game.
Yep.
Indeed. All right, so Shinboy, I'm going to run you through some of the questions I remember that I asked last week. Who do you think will have the biggest surprise?
Nintendo.
My heart wants to say Sony, but it's probably going to be Microsoft.
They'll have something.
I will note that the last couple of years has been Ubisoft, and I think that's who we voted for last week. It was like Ubisoft has.
That's true. They've been doing pretty crazy. Like, here's one last things.
Yeah, and EA still has Battlefront to show and shit like that. Mirror's Edge was one of the biggest surprises. Yeah,
Microsoft has been talking some serious game. So
yeah, they have.
They have, and the fact that they freaking dropped the Kinect and dropped the price and all that kind of shit before.
Now, do you think they've been talking some serious game, and then they're just gonna have like Halo 5 demo up on stage or something?
I don't know.
I mean, the game.
Like, look, guys, we have it playable.
We all know deep down inside what we hope Sony's surprise is, but that's never gonna happen.
Wait. I don't know what you're talking about, because most of my games that I've wanted, my
wish. What is the one game that people have been asking?
Last Guardian comes out tomorrow, guys.
What is the obsession with Last Guardian?
All have a copy of Last Guardian.
If you're on a video game podcast and you don't know what the fucking Last Guardian is,
I don't. I will admit I don't, because I don't understand. Everyone talks about it. I'm like, okay, it's funny how I never even knew. I don't even know what Last Guardian is.
Did you ever play Ico or Shadow of the Colossus?
No, because Shadow of the Colossus looked...
Dern, I just want to say something to you right now.
It is.
I love you for saying Ico.
Yeah, it's Ico, not Ico. Good man.
Wait, do you mean the dolphin game? Echo the Dolphin? Is that not what you're talking about?
There are people who say Ico, and those people are terrible.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's a game that's by a Ico and Shadows of the Colossus were the last two games they made for a very specific group of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where they're a very specific group of people love those games to no end.
Shadow of the Colossus is probably easily within my top five all time.
Yeah, I'd say it's one of the best PS2 games ever released. And that's a pretty large library.
So you guys are waiting for The Last Guardian, The Last Guardian 2, right? I'm just making sure, because I have a date released for you right now for The Last Guardian, if you want to know.
Sure
it is. December 31st, 2014. Amazon says it, so.
Yep, and on January 1st, 2015, that will change to December 31st, 2015.
Yep, like it's done every year for the last, whoa, shit.
Duke Nukem Forever 2 will come out before The Last Guardian.
Yeah. Like Final Fantasy Versus 13, it was announced at the start of the PlayStation 3 era.
It was announced in 2009.
Oh, okay, so it was after Final Fantasy Versus 13 that it was announced. Right. God. Anyway, all right. So
that trailer was so good, though.
It's going to be
something. Microsoft. They're probably going to pull some weird third party exclusive like Platinum.
Are Nintendo fans going to... I think the way I phrased it last week was, are Nintendo fans going to be disappointed? I'm going to rephrase it. What do you think Nintendo is going to do?
Nintendo is going to disappoint its fans about 6 months from now when those games come out.
Well, but okay, here's the thing, though. Like, can Nintendo really disappoint their fans any more than they already have? like at this point, if they release a game, then they're... That's more than
people are expecting.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, like Mario Kart 8 release. That is a solid game for the Wii U. We finally have something to play now. I finally touched a Wii U controller for the first time in a while. Like at this point, if they show I'll be completely happy with Nintendo if they show a new Zelda, even if it doesn't come out until like next year. As long as they show it and show an actual game, not just a fancy looking tech demo video. If they show an actual game, like I'll be happy with that.
We won't do that. It'll be a tech demo. Come on.
They've already shown that though.
I want the one thing I've wanted for a while now is a 2.5D Metroid for the 3DS. God damn it, Nintendo. Give it to me.
Yeah.
How would you feel if they released a 2.5D Metroid for the Wii U?
I'd be like, what the hell are you doing? Why wouldn't you just release a sequel to the Prime series on the Wii U? And by sequel to the Prime series, I mean in that style.
Right.
And when I said oh yes to a 2.5D Metroid on the 3DS, I wasn't actually saying oh yes to the idea of a Metroid on 3DS. I was remembering that Nintendo still has a platform that actually matters, and I can't wait for fucking 3DS games to be announced.
Kirby game is pretty good.
Was Ico a puzzle game?
Ico, excuse me.
Ico, sorry.
You just still seeing that googly.
I will drive down to San Antonio.
Ico was an Ico game.
Yeah, it was.
Was kind of a thing in and of itself, which I think is why so many people enjoyed it so much.
Need to play Shadow of the Colossus, though.
Yeah, Shadow of the Colossus was a fantastic game.
I have considered spending almost triple digits in money to import that soundtrack.
Oh, I forgot about the soundtrack.
I'd have to have a PS3.
The soundtrack is so good.
You have a PS3, don't you?
No, I sold it years ago because I didn't play it.
Okay. No, you should just either...
Well, I was just saying because the HD version holds
up. Yeah, it is on the PS3. You can just emulate it and it'll be fine.
That's true. You emulate it and do a higher resolution, it'll look fine.
Yeah.
Because, the old version definitely doesn't stand out.
God damn, I love Shadow of the Colossus so much. It's such a great game.
I apologize for everybody listening, thinking I'm a total shit for not knowing, but I never played these games because I was never very big in the PS3. I had like one or two games I liked on it, but I was always...
These were PS2 games.
Well, it says PS3, Shadow of the Colossus, Ico.
That's this Ico. HD collection.
The HD release thing.
Oh, okay. Well, PS2 is even less. I played less PS2 than... No, I played a lot more PS2 than I played PS3, but never even played these
games. Okay, so do you at least know the concept of Shadow of the Colossus from a gameplay point of view?
Nope. No idea what it's about.
There are no enemies except for... there are 16 bosses. The game is nothing but boss fights.
It looked like... I remember seeing it, and for some reason I saw it, and then I saw... What was that one with the... War paint dude and
that game that's nothing like it at all.
Yeah, like, but that's why.
Are you comparing Shadow of the Colossus to God of War?
Yeah, I thought it was for God of War, and I was like, okay, they're making another.
Get this man off this podcast.
That's what I thought when I saw the cover.
What we're going to do is we're going to spend. You're going to move out here. We're going to spend a solid calendar year taking you through like all of these games that everyone knows about, but you.
I need a mentor. I played Heavy Rain on the PS3. I remember playing that.
Okay.
But yeah, I need someone to
quote unquote played Heavy Rain.
Yeah, I played it, too. Never beat it. So that's about it.
All right. Follow up question. No, not follow up question. Next question on the E3 question list. Jimboy, do you and Squiddle? Jimboy Squiddle, do you think that Morpheus is going to come back out, or more E3D stuff, actual VR stuff, is going to be shown at
E3? Yes, Sony will show something.
They wouldn't have
announced it at GDC if they weren't going to show something else this year.
See, Duren disagreed last week. I don't know. I think it's going to be. I think that definitely is going to think it's going to.
They said themselves that it's like super fucking early tech. Like, there's nothing for them to really show. It's way too early, I think, for them.
I think they may have a tech demo of what they want to do. I don't think it'll be anything that will be like we're going to see what the final product is, or they're even remotely ready to.
Right. Show. Well, and I think that's what I said is like they'll have it on the floor somewhere, but it will not be a press conference bullet point at all.
Yeah.
Or I think the coolest they can do with Morpheus is like bundle it up with their fucking indie program and bring in all the crazy, most interesting Oculus demos into Morpheus. And that would be that was the announcement and the only announcement they made. I thought it would be pretty fucking cool.
I think it would be awesome if they had
that means their big debut thing is like, hey, you know, us too.
Yeah, no,
that's the thing they can do with it.
No. That is not us too, because you forget that most people don't really know what the Oculus is.
Hmm.
And E3 is one of the few places, and not the only place, where games get mainstream media coverage. So if they get that out there during their press conference, they will be the only ones that the media will
be. That's true. I guess to all of us, it would be an us too thing. But yeah, I guess with mainstream media, it will be.
I haven't played those Oculus games. You probably haven't played those Oculus games.
I played that Oculus demo at PAX.
Yeah, you did.
We played like maybe a couple of minutes of Oculus between us. Like, this is a new thing for us too. Like, we've seen footage of this stuff, but I can't wait to get my actual eyes on it.
Part of the reason though why I think that they are wanting to maybe hold off a little bit longer until they have something more substantial is I imagine they don't want Morpheus to fall in the same trap that Move did, where they kind of showed it off at the height of the Wii U or the Wii, and it was basically a Me Too project, and nobody really did anything for it, and it died before it really
had a chance to start. But that's also against Nintendo, a company, a behemoth like Nintendo, versus what was until previously a small startup for Oculus.
I would just hope that a product named Morpheus, their first tech demo, is you walk around the Ebuchadnezzar and experience that ship.
Love the name. I when you said that, I had forgotten that was the name of that ship. That is an amazing name. I haven't watched Matrix
in a while.
Oh, that movie's so fucking good.
Matrix is pretty good.
Yes. But yeah, no, I amending my predictions from last week, I can totally see it there, and I hope they actually push some experiences. They don't have to make it like a massive thing. They don't have to like re-reveal it at the press conference or anything. But even if they say, yeah, it's totally a thing. We're going forward with the idea. We're not scrapping it. It's not going to disappear.
I think Sony's going to focus on anything that's not directly game announcements. It's going to be the PlayStation Now stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Because some people may have access to it on the PS4. And some people may think the current game list is less than stellar.
Okay. Cool. But does it work? Do some people think it works or not?
I've heard rumblings that it seems like it might work, but
yeah, I heard rumblings that Pixel Junk Eden worked well enough, and that game is very confusing.
However, your friends are very detailed about their reactions to.
I can't confirm. Now. I can at least confirm that Jack Tretton will be back at E3 this year.
Oh, dude, game trailer has got him.
No.
I'm still going to tune into game trailers almost exclusively because he's there. Like, that's.
I was going to watch this thing. So, here's why I'm not going to be here next week. This is a bit of an announcement.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually not a positive one, so don't get excited.
Oh,
next Friday, the reason I will not be here is because I'm having like a minor surgery.
Mm-hmm.
I had like a cyst on my lower back that's getting removed. Well, like, not removed. Like it's sort of healed, but they're sort of like getting it out so it doesn't get infected again. Mm-hmm. So that means the week after I get off from work, because I'm just going to be home recovering, which means I actually get to stay home and watch all E3.
This is the first year in probably 5 years that I won't be able to do that.
Same. Exactly the same.
I don't want to be hopped up on painkillers, so I might not remember any of it. I might think that, like, Phil Spencer is, like, in my living room and there's weird lines everywhere. I don't know.
Well, if you want, we could have a viewing party together. And I'll just
when you move out here to New Jersey within the next week?
Yeah, you know. you know, at some point, as much as you pestered me about getting a 3DS and everything fucking else, I will probably inevitably move out there.
You know what's going to happen?
Just so that I can shut you up from telling me to move out there.
You're going
to
move out here, and as soon as you move out here, I'm going to get a job, like, on the other side of the country or in San Antonio.
In Portland, Oregon. That's where you're going to get a job.
Yep.
All right. So the next question was, I believe... Squiddle, by the way. Because you didn't last answer, you've been pretty quiet for a while. What are your thoughts on 3D? Do you think it's going to be a thing at E3?
I think 3D in general has come and gone as a center point for most companies.
What about like VR specific stuff?
Yeah, we're talking about VR.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Not.
It was a strangely worded question.
Sorry, I've actually I've forgotten about stereoscopic 3D, and I'm only thinking about Oculus 3 as the real fucking 3D.
I think that VR has a place. It will become very popular, and I'm kind of torn because I think there will be a. I don't want to say that VR will be a like 3D was for TVs. I want to know that it will flourish and do good. But I feel like there'll be a transition at some point between VR and heads-up displays on like glasses, like Google Glass or something like that, that you can interact. And I feel there'll be a transition at some point going towards that where you can interact with the world but still get your information. And I don't know when that will be, but I think VR is the right step towards getting there. I think the technology behind VR will allow us, and the technology behind Google Glass and heads-up displays will allow us to get an equilibrium that we can deliver to, that can be delivered to the public. And we, like I'm a part of it, that can be delivered to the public in the future. Not definitely not now. Probably 2020, 2021, or something like that. That we'll actually see something come out of that. But I also think that somewhere 4K is going to come into play when it comes to games.
And that's just natural.
And developers, which I think is, and that's kind of where my idea was. You had 3D for, monitors. They were 3D this, 3D that. And then it went to virtual VR. And I think that for 3D, it went to 4K. So I'm thinking that VR is going to go to, what's the terminology you're looking for with heads-up display? It's called
augmented reality?
Augmented reality.
AR.
Right. So I think that VR will lead to AR, much like 3D led to 4K.
This is a bit of an anecdote, but one of my bosses at work in the IT department, back in March, his daughter, I think, was out at GDC with some AR company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she was doing, just sort of that she was there.
I think AR and VR are definitely parts of the future. I just wonder if people are going to start pushing it now in this E3 or whatever, like CES, or if it's going to take even longer. Because Oculus has been around for fucking ages now. Like, it feels like forever since Oculus was first revealed, and it still hasn't become a thing yet.
Right, and because it hasn't matured yet to become a thing, and that's why I feel that there'll be some point where, let's say it doesn't, let's say the technology behind it has gotten so good that we can incorporate it in AR in some form, and then a bigger company, I'm not going to say Google, but a company that will buy it out,
the patents, Facebook?
No, fuck that company. That little shit can go to hell for all I care.
That actually was a really good move for them, and anyone who says isn't looking at the situation clearly.
No, it was, but I still don't like him as a person, so I don't like his company.
Zuckerberg, the dude who just donated like $120 million to charity?
I don't like him as a person. Okay. So, regardless if he's a charity giver, if he's a lifesaver, if he is the Mother Teresa, I don't like him as a person for the company that he made. So that's my reasoning behind it. But I think that, you know, a company will buy the patents for these items and will make it into something better. And because it will never be released, we will have the AR that we've been wanting. So that's my idea behind it. But that's my thought.
Cool. All right. So next question, we'll move on, is let's see, what are the things you know about are you excited for E3?
Games. I don't know. I haven't been following it. I haven't been into the gaming news. I'm not really big into gaming news. I'm big into games that I know I like and I'm gonna like. When it comes to gaming news, I get what I can get from Giant Bomb because I follow them regularly. But outside of that, I really haven't even been paying much attention to that. So that I can actually have a good opinion on it. Like, you say what's going to happen at E3, I have no clue what's really going to happen at E3. And when we say gaming companies or, you know, people that are going to be there, I know Sony, Microsoft. Okay, that's it. I mean, I really, and even them, I don't, I know you have the Divinity or what's their, the Sony's MMO that they're doing.
Destiny.
You have Destiny, and you have
another person that thinks Destiny is a PS4 exclusive. I'm not saying it's your fault. I'm saying it's co-marketing.
Sure, but I mean, I don't know what else there really is gonna be because I don't follow it that closely right now.
What are you looking forward to?
The Witcher.
The Witcher, even though it's been delayed, still going. Yep. Witcher?
Yep, The Witcher, because one, I really like The Witcher 2, and The Witcher 3 looks fantastic, and two, once that's out of the way, full steam ahead on Cyberpunk. in terms of something that's not The Witcher that we know of, does Project Beast count?
Yes, it does count.
Because as much as I don't like the Souls games, I think most of that is their style, and I like the sort of like a dark spaghetti western look that they're going for with Project Beast.
I think it's weird because it looks a bit too much like Souls for me. I was hoping for, because they shared with that 14 or 18 seconds worth of footage or whatever, with the fucking Souls music in the background. I was like, this is a bit, like, considering we just got Dark Souls 2, might be too close to
what they've done with that. It's a different team, though. And some of that could be placeholder stuff, too. Like, they could be pulling assets from that just for the sake of making a demo.
Also, I guess, I forgot what the actual name is, Omaha, the EA cop battlefield game.
I had not heard of this.
Hardpoint, isn't it? Or something like that?
Yeah, it's Dice and Visceral. It's the battlefield game that Visceral's making that's essentially, it's going to, in what looks like out payday.
Nice. Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Or at least try to.
Cool.
Given the heist is only one of the modes, yeah.
Yeah.
My final question for E3 is, do you think there's going to be any new hardware shown? Like, specifically Nintendo, those new rumors before. And just in general, Microsoft going to VR or anything like that. Something to replace Kinect. Do not. Yeah, me neither.
Nintendo's too stubborn. No one else has anything ready.
Yeah. I'm with you. And that's pretty much it. Any other ruminations on E3? I think it's going to be a pretty weird year. It's going to be a weird year for E3 because I think next year is when everything's going to hit the fan.
Well, the thing is, a lot of stuff's coming out early next year, so who knows? There might be some cool stuff this year.
Maybe. If there is, that's awesome because I'm coming with such low expectations that if something really cool does show up, it could be like really
much. My prediction is that cross-gen is going to continue and everyone's going to be super bummed.
For me, my prediction is they're going to show the next Mass Effect, and it's going to blow my fucking socks off. That's what I want.
I should probably play 3.
Fucking, it's my biggest wish. Okay, I guess we'll end the show on that. What if you could wish for something to happen aside from fucking The Last Guardian at E3? What would it be? For me, it's the next Mass Effect that actually looks good,
It's funny because The Last Guardian, as an aside, like, I don't care whether or not I ever get to play that game. I want them to announce that game to see the internet's collective reaction.
Exactly.
Oh, God. If I could will something into existence at
E3. Yeah. What would it be?
God. Because that's a tough one, because what I'm hoping for obviously does not exist.
Go for a long shot and something that you should think might happen.
A proper traditional, if you will, Ratchet and Clank game for PS4.
That sounds like a long shot to me.
Yep, it is a long shot.
Something you think that will actually happen?
No. Well, we want something that will actually happen?
Yeah, that's two different questions. Okay. I'm splitting up just for you.
That's my long shot.
Okay, that's your long shot.
Something that I think might happen? I mean, you said Mass Effect. That's a pretty obvious one.
Yeah, Mass Effect. It's Mass Effect and it being good is my hope for PS3. My long shot is at 5-thing release date.
What I think will happen is that the Assassin's Creed split is going to be sort of clarified. Mm-hmm. And the next gen version will actually look very good, both from a visual standpoint and from interesting mechanics, because I think Ubisoft knows they have to shake it up.
Oh, that would be awesome. Durin, because you didn't get this question last week, what's your likely hope and your long shot for E3?
Oh, geez. I guess, do we have a final actual release date for Final Fantasy 15?
That's my long shot. We don't have a release date, and that's okay. I think they might.
My hopeful is that we will get a release date, even though that release date will obviously be 2015.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that we're to a point now where we got to get a release date on that game, otherwise, mm-hmm. people like granted, yes, they have finally shown some updates on it and that they have renamed it, but yep. I mean they've got to give us something.
That was a year ago.
Yeah.
A year ago. Yeah.
We've seen nothing since then, so we've got to get a release date. I guess long shot. Jeez. Long shot, I guess, would probably be Naughty Dog showing what they're working on that is not that Uncharted game.
Whoa, that would be.
Because we know that they have a team working on something else.
Yeah, we know there's something else. And I really hope it's not lost.
Three out of the last four Naughty Dog games have not been that great. Just gonna lay it all out there.
Wait.
Which Uncharted 2 is three. Four.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, hang on. Uncharted 2, what? Uncharted 3, Last of Us. What was the fourth one? Uncharted 1? Okay.
I disagree. I like Uncharted 1, Uncharted 2, and The Last of Us.
Uncharted 1 was good only because it led to Uncharted 2.
Uncharted 1 and The Last of Us are good games. Uncharted 2 is a great game. Uncharted 3 is a bad game.
Was any of the Uncharted series ever on the PS2 or only PS3?
No, all PS3. Okay, I disagree, Shinboy, but you already know I disagree. But yeah, for me, Last of Us, Uncharted 2, fucking masterpieces. 1 was pretty good. 3 was all right. It wasn't great.
3 is a bad game. I will go as far as to say 3 is a bad game.
I disagree, but okay. Durin, yeah, that was your long shot. What was your long shot again? Oh, yeah, on a next Naughty Dog game. That would be fucking amazing.
Like next Naughty Dog. I guess, you know, barring that. Okay. I think they're back. That will definitely be my long shot. My plausible seeing actual gameplay, like stage demo kind of gameplay of DICE's Battlefront game.
Oh, that would be cool. That'd be interesting. That would be cool. Or Mirror's Edge. Like I can't wait to see
Mirror's Edge. Visceral's working on a Star Wars game too, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
With Amy Henning as one of the lead people.
Yeah. That's probably still in like the infancy.
I like how there were like people started joking that Druckmann was killing Naughty Dog, and then as people started leaving, everyone was like, wait a minute, hold on you guys, let's rewind this back. Maybe he actually is.
Man, Druckmann, they could just
sounds give impossible Naughty to Dog work to with? Druckmann,
and I would be fine.
Druckmann sounds like he is a nightmare to work with.
He's a fucking genius, though. I don't mind. He's like the fucking East Western Kojima in my eyes. Like he can do whatever the fuck, I'm there. I am there.
Again, right. he did a good job by telling an interesting story in a non-interesting world, so I commend him for that.
Love The Last of Us. I love it. Squiddle, do you have, I'm not sure if you do, but do you have like something you really want to see? Long there, shot and something
Something that I know I would see or that I want to see in a long shot. That's
pretty much like one thing that you think is going to be there, the one thing that if you could will it into existence that you know is not going to be there.
Yeah. I have two things that I would want to will into existence.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
So the first thing would be Zelda for the PC. Okay. I'm just going to throw that out there. All right.
At least he's really going for it. We went with safer long shots. And the
other one would be Nintendo drops the Wii U and releases a console that blows the Xbox One and Xbox 4 away. So those are my two long shots.
Well, okay, that was going to happen, but you're about 2 years too early for that.
A couple years early?
Yeah.
All right.
2016, that's what's going to happen.
I'm hoping by the end of the year that Mirror's Edge gets released. A December release, a Christmas release for Mirror's Edge 2 is what I...
Wait, is that your more likely one?
Yeah.
Because we've seen nothing of that game. How are they going to release it this year?
Just because we haven't seen it doesn't mean it may not happen.
That's exactly what it means.
No, yeah. I don't know. I
Correct, you don't know.
Yes, but I have a good feeling. That means anything.
The three long shots.
We've barely seen more of that game than we have of Battlefront.
One impossibility. It wasn't even a long shot. He just kind of threw that into space.
I like how this podcast has slowly, over the course of these few hours, turned into all of us calling out Squiddle's bullshit.
Hey, look, it may be bullshit, but, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Man, I would be excited for it, too. Just it's not going to happen.
I hope for the day that a company doesn't have to do mass marketing. I understand mass marketing has to happen to really get a game psyched and everyone to get into it and know it even exists. And I get that. But I would love for one day that people know a game that they love. They want it to come out much like Half-Life 3 or, you know, whatever it may be, just gets announced, like, just out of fucking nowhere. Just, it's available. Go buy it. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for Mirror's Edge. Like, hey, it's out. Go get it. It's coming out next month. We're done. Drop the mic.
The problem with that, though, with Mirror's Edge is that, like, that game already was a commercial failure the first time. They can't afford for that to happen again. They have to have proper marketing behind it before they release it. Otherwise, it's just dead in the water, and you'll never see another Mirror's Edge.
Right, but it got a cult following, so it may be a commercial failure.
Cult followings don't
pay the bills. Yeah. Like, if you ever want to see another Mirror's Edge, this one has to be done right. They're giving it a second chance.
Hey, at least Clerks 2 did pretty good, even though Clerks 1 was better than Clerks 2, but it still got money.
Smith is a weird enigma.
Clerks 2 did pretty good by Kevin Smith standards, but nobody else would have made another movie after that. Let's be real. I love that movie.
Yeah.
All right, so there you go. That's our second E3 predictions run, and I'm not sure, like, next week, Shimba's not going to be here. E3 is not till the week after, right?
Correct.
Man, it's gonna be interesting.
Monday, a week from this Monday, is all the press conferences.
Oh, I will say I'm excited because Apple's WWDC is on Monday, so we'll see what they have to release. You never know.
But you mean Monday? You mean when I will not be paying attention to that at all? And we'll be watching press conferences all day. This Monday.
This Monday.
Oh, okay. So I will not be paying attention to that at all. Sure.
Exactly. I will say that my yearly thing is I set aside 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at work, and I tell everybody I will not be doing anything during that press conference. I will go into a room and watch the entire thing if it's streaming or follow.
So you're like, you do what I used to do for E3, but for Apple.
Yep.
Oh, so there you go. Expect more discussion of probably rumors next week. But aside from that, that'll be the Scotchcast for this week. We've pretty much covered everything, right, guys? There's nothing else. Let's just say, let's end it there. That's Scotchcast for this week. Thank you for joining us. Mr. Squiddle, do you have any plugs?
Okay, there we go. I was worried.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
or music, whatever, that you guys have been doing in my absence.
I don't have any music plugs this week, really, unless you want to do Sabaton's new one that came out. Which I can't even get the name right now, so I'm shit at that. Trust me.
We can tell. You didn't need to tell us.
Thank you.
Damn.
Thank you.
Damn.
It's the Scotch cast. I'm drunk. I'm sorry. All right. Fucking forgive me if in the name of the goddamn cast is what I am right now. Okay.
You're Scotch. You are the embodiment of Scotch.
Yes. I would say I have a closer for the show. That's about it. So pass me up. I'm sorry. Okay, I have right, no right. plugs.
Shimboy.
I've been listening to the Shadow of the Colossus soundtrack ever since it was brought up. So that's my music plug for this week. Other than that, not really anything that I can think of. There probably is something that I'm forgetting, but it's not that important if I can't remember it.
Durin.
Mario Kart 8 seems pretty good, guys. Should go buy a Wii U so we can exchange network IDs and play some Mario Kart tournaments.
You don't know how close I was to buying a Wii U today. I almost bought a Wii U because I didn't realize that Best Buy took PayPal, and PayPal will take my Bill Me Later, and my Bill Me Later credit line is astronomical. So I almost did it.
I had a moment the other day where I was like, I should buy a Wii U. Those are probably pretty cheap right now. And then I looked and they weren't, so I didn't.
My plug this week is SciShow Space, which is a breakoff channel on YouTube for SciShow, who do a weekly or like multi-episode a week things about just random science stuff that's really interesting. They have good delivery, good production values, and it's on YouTube, so it's free. SciShow Space is the new channel from them, and it's just about space, and I fucking love it. Squiddle, do you want to end out the show with your crazy thing, or was that your crazy thing?
No. And that will be it, ladies and gentlemen, for me, Squiddle, Shin, Durin, Cynic, and Third. I know you're out there, sir. Stay lovely, interwebs.
Cynic, what was your thing? I'm just trying to spell it so I know what to put in the plugs.
Yes, I'll just link it to you. I love how he muted himself at the end of it. So it was just pure silence for a couple of seconds.